Sentai Review, episode 178, Rangers in Space.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Rangers in Space!
Okay, so what's up? We have set controls for outer space now.
Oh, wait, I gotta do this since I got the morpher. And I held onto it just for this.
For all those who can't see, Scott just morphed into the Pink Ranger. You grabbed the wrong morpher, buddy. That's the pink one.
Well, at least I have a useful weapon, unlike Andros, who has a broken weapon that breaks every time.
She does have that satellite stunner thing, yeah.
Seriously, Andros' weapon breaks all the time.
Dude.
Mm. It's a cheaply made sword.
If you are a fan, a major fan of space, if you are the kind of person that cannot wait to defend every single thing about space, you might fucking hate me. Because I noticed some things, because my job is to analyze. And I did it, and I saw some things that I think people will not be happy about.
I'm a big fan of space.
I know.
But I'm also going to let you say your piece. And then if you ruin my childhood, it's fine.
Yeah, space was, right. Space has been one of my favorites, too.
I'll find something that you love, and I'll ruin it.
Now, here's the thing. Keep in mind, as always, this is a massive review, making a lot of jokes, and holding a show up to adult scrutiny it was never meant to be held up to. Part of what made these shows so great is that we just watched them.
Yep.
Shane, they was just fun.
Sometimes they still are.
Yes.
Some of these episodes are still fun. Yeah.
After what we've been through, and not just the fact that it's Turtles, but after what we've been through, space has been good. But I'm still going to have, it's my job, I'm going to point some things out that I know is going to cause some problems.
And just like any good show, there are going to be some episodes where you're like, oh, that sucks.
Exactly. Yeah. It happens. Especially when you're running like 50 episodes. Like you can't write gold all the fucking time.
No, you're going to get those rotten egg episodes.
Every now and then we have to watch Cat's Paw. Just look that up, Star Trek. I consider it to be the worst episode of the original series.
Well, I don't know if I want to watch the worst episode.
It's wonderful. You'll love it.
good thing I haven't watched my Blu-ray set of the original series yet.
And to be fair, Cat's Paw is still better than the last 13 episodes you endured.
But I can't think of anything. I can't think of what... Well, let me think. I think I would rather watch the entire Blood Rain movie trilogy than watch Turtles, and those movies suck.
Don't you get to see
Shane?
Let me.
Yes, you do. So this is what's worth it.
I'll say this about the first Blood Rain movie: it had the potential to work. It really, truly did. Watching it, it falls apart remarkably fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like that actress. I know she didn't fit the body cavity perfectly. Everybody was complaining about that. But I think that she could have pulled it off because her attitude, mm-hmm. that's the girl in the Mortal Kombat series.
Yeah.
It's the same actress. The one with Kung Lao? With Kung Lao and Zero?
Oh.
Was she
Tasha?
I don't know.
Can't remember.
It's been a long time.
I want to say if it's the one that was in both of them, it is the one that played Katana.
So. No. Not the movie. The series. The series followed Kung Lao.
Oh,
and the movies, Liu Kang was, of Kung Lao.
The series had some woman who looked like a Sonya Blade-like woman.
That girl is the same girl that played, and she very much played a thief with a heavy attitude and a big fuck you middle finger and all, and a lot of the things that she did. She portrayed that attitude perfectly. She could have done it. That show.
All I'm going to tell you, Bill, is that those last right here, because here's the disc right here, those last 13 episodes that we had to endure, and I'm talking about endure, because that is a fucking, that was a challenge. The next mutation is so bad, it made Mortal Kombat Annihilation look like an Academy Award winning movie.
Wait. Me and Seth had to sit through Mass Rider before we got to this. Before we got to the next mutation.
And according to what I'm hearing,
I would still argue that Masked Rider was better than those turtles.
Yeah.
Those turtles were something. Fuck. Yeah, I struggled. Yeah.
Masked Rider was bad. But there was no expectation in America tied to it. When I went into it, because I watched about 20 of the episodes because I was going to try to be in one of their episodes, and I started watching it on YouTube, and I was like, this is fucking awful.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know anything about it. So I'm sure it could be more awful. If we had been at the level that we're at now, really think about that, because since we started this show, your knowledge of Rangers and Sentai and things, tokusatsu and nature, have risen exponentially.
Yeah, I knew about like Godzilla and shit, but then other stuff in the tokusatsu, like, I didn't know shit about Kamen Rider.
Right.
I never seen a single fucking episode of Kamen Rider.
Now, where we are,
I still don't know a great deal, but I know more than I did.
Exactly. It's like, go back to when we first did the first couple of suit reviews, and now get to here. We've learned a few things, and not just from fans being like, you fucking dumb motherfucks! It's like this, goddammit!
Why aren't you doing stuff in order, fuckers?
We do not claim to be professional.
Yeah, we are not. We're not professional at all. We don't know shit. We just, hey, look at this. Alright, cool. Here's opinion on it. Everybody has an opinion. Most of them stink. So,
but
you don't like ours? Go get us better deodorant, I guess.
But with that said, Bill, let's go around the room.
Riploid Bill, William Bush.
Seth Lovelsario.
Scott Action Jackson.
Shane McCree, Proto Guy.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right guys, I'll leave you alone. Okay, so here we are. It's time to talk. Where do we start?
Episode 1, From Out of Nowhere, Part 1.
Okay.
Out of nowhere.
Hashtag out of nowhere?
First problem.
Oh, RKO!
Small thing. First problem.
Go ahead.
Why is Alpha broken? Real reason. Voice actor left.
Right.
Fake reason. I don't fucking know. He was talking during liftoff in the last fucking episode of Turbo.
Yep.
It was a shaky motherfucking liftoff. Straight up broke Alpha.
Yeah.
Broke his little voice modulator.
But they tried to explain it. He must have been damaged when the command center blew up.
Which is bullshit, because he was talking after it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't write it.
I'm just saying they gave you
a half-ass fucking reason.
At least
they tried to explain.
They were like, hopefully motherfuckers didn't watch Turbo. He got damaged during the destruction of the command center.
Right.
Yes, he did.
Turbo. In which case, the only thing that I could give that any form of credence is I got an old motherfucking truck. I mean, old motherfucker. The truck is older than I am. It was made in 88 like I was. Old motherfucker. It's full of rust. It's falling apart. You know, shit like that. So, if something were to be damaged and nobody noticed it, it could still run for a little bit until the engine explodes or the transmission goes or the battery, you know, runs out of juice.
So, just because the voice changed, it's still Sinister Alpha, right?
It's the same character.
Technically, yes, it's the same character. The voice just got a downgrade from Alpha 6, a.k.a. Jersey Alpha, back to Alpha 5.
Yeah, itch. He's kind of like in a general medium now.
Yeah, so the voice box got a downgrade. That's it.
You also notice that, I mean, as you go on, he doesn't talk as much as he did. I noticed that, like, there
that's because he was doing other things.
Yeah.
There are
other sinister, sneaky things.
There are episodes where Alpha just stands there and doesn't
Alpha's
say anything.
Got a spaceship now.
Yes, yeah. The things he can do with that.
And they only go to deck one and deck two. That's it.
I'll say this. There is a... We'll get there when we get there. Okay.
The episode actually starts off with all the villains gathering together.
Yeah. Yes, we do. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, bad guy party.
All the heroes have gathered together to talk about the villain known as Zordon, who spanned the universe, captured teenagers, put people fucking shore to Stonehenge...
Yep.
And caused all sorts of other ruckus across the galaxy while keeping individuals
in
a basement.
Poor bastard sucked the dew off of leaves.
And kept people in the basement. And they have come together to finally punish this villain.
Yep.
And it's nice to see the Machine Empire got put back together.
Right. Now let's go back to the actual show.
I have a question.
What?
About that. When you see him panning over all the villains,
yes,
or heroes, as Bill put it, you see the Machine King, the Machine Queen.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. When you now, this isn't for a while, but I'm going to bring it up because not like anybody's going to remember this. In Wild Force, the Forever Red episode, the remnants of what was left of the Machine Empire. Well, they said that years. Tommy even said years ago the Zeo Rangers defeated the Machine Empire, which they did.
Yes.
And the King and Queen were destroyed.
Actually, no, they didn't. Rita and Zed did.
Yeah.
Now,
why are they there?
Here's why. The Machine Empire may very well be the scariest thing in Power Rangers for one reason. We've already been given prior information that they came from somewhere else.
Yep.
And we also have information that when the Machine Empire built up in our galaxy, what did they do? In our solar system, when they built just in our solar system, they immediately put down foundation plants that would build robots. The only thing we've been able to clear is killing some robots on our planet. And then Zed and Rita, I imagine, took most of their shit back on the moon.
Yep.
Blasted a bunch of them just to say... Ah, stupid-ass robots, now that your king is dead. So that's probably why there's no armada just sitting around on the moon right now.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
But if they were building those kind of things here, then you better believe that wherever the fuck they came from, they're probably like the Borg.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're like a goddamn cockroach infestation. And just because we killed one King Bob Joe... doesn't mean they can't just immediately make another one.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's not counting his offspring that came by. And
Sprocket.
Sprocket and that other guy.
I can't remember the other guy's name. I just remember Sprocket because he was so annoying. Yeah.
So, yes, those are probably newly built Queen and King.
I'm going to go ahead. You know what? That's probably the best. That's probably the only explanation we'll get. So,
and they did look somewhat pathetic.
They did. They looked like they were beaten down,
which would make a lot of sense
because they were beaten down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much everybody there did look, you know, a little bit downtrodden, other than like Zed and Rita, who they were kind of down about it because they didn't get to destroy the Power Rangers.
Well, they didn't get to the destroying part until they ran into Diva Tox.
They're standing in whatever this empire is. Has fallen drastically.
Yeah.
And the new universal gossip has risen quite a bit.
That Divatox has
Divatox has destroyed the
Rangers. Divatox is higher in the evil empire than Zed and Rita.
Yep.
And I can prove this. Because even though she's new, and even though we very much dissected her storyline and figured out that she was just learning shit.
With her bombs.
She climbed the ranks fast, because if you look at it, who's the one that's put in charge of, you know, getting Zordon?
Divatox.
Moving him, transporting him, securing
which
him.
Which technically is a very important job.
Hardcore important job.
And they're not going
to
leave
you
that.
You wouldn't trust that to any other motherfucker but the
Dark
one
Spectre,
that you knew could get shit done.
Dark Spectre looked at like, astronomer, you're going to do this because you're like basically my daughter.
And I can trust you to go on the offense, but what I need right now is a general who's proven that can watch my situation.
Divatox, you go secure Zordon because you're the only one that can destroy the fucking Rangers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, no more turbo power. Turbo power's gone.
They passed on Zed and Rita, and they passed on another person. It was time to make a decision that bolstering the command units of Astronema, Goldar was not sent.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. And that does go into storyline. Because fan-wise, we would say, dude, it would have been better for Goldar to have shown up and gotten a fucking chance to shine for once in space. But the reason Goldar would not have been chose is because Goldar is in the command unit of Zed and Rita,
who have now
fallen quite a bit in the standings of the Empire.
Unfortunately, Zed fell far from grace. Like, he used to be something threatening.
So, a Red Ranger comes into their...
There's a cloak guy.
There's a cloak guy surveying the situation.
Everybody knows who he is. I was just going to say there's a Red Ranger spying on people in a cloak.
And obviously not the greatest fucking disguise, because when he was fighting... If anybody with a brain...
The white gloves and... Well, not white gloves, the white boots.
Yeah, and then you could see, like, his red pants. Anybody with a brain could have been like, I think that's a Ranger.
Anybody with a brain could have, but the problem is you're dealing with Zed and Rita...
Who have
now been proven incompetent.
Oh, they're incompetent as fuck.
And now you have Divatox, who's incompetent, but she managed to destroy Rangers...
But she's also...
Because they were learning, too.
Well, no, see...
I'm telling you,
I hate it. I hate it that we have to say this. Divatox cannot be rated as incompetent because throughout the course of her series, she got better. Throughout the course of Zed's series, Rita's series, and every other villain, they just get dumber and dumber and dumber until they finally cause their own shit.
Divatox was the smart one. It's like, you know what? If that's where they go to, Zordon might be there.
Right.
Why don't we attack that fucking place?
Everybody else in the history of Rangers knew exactly where that place was and couldn't fucking handle it.
Yeah.
She was tired of getting her ass kicked, finally won the first thing ever, and every single bad guy that ever fucking won did one thing. They fucking partied down.
Yep.
Well, you know what she didn't do when all of a sudden news came her way that said, hey, we found that command center thing. She said, the fucking party's over.
Yep.
Let's go attack it.
And, yes, I don't like her.
Also, she had a big old army with her at the time when she
was...
spotted
the
command center. Unlike, I don't think either of the others had like a big old army with them when they spotted the command center.
Okay, well, fair enough. Then I'll just say her
Empire,
henchmen were incompetent and she was fine.
The Machine Empire, for as dumb as it is, being run off fucking Serpentera batteries, they knew exactly where the fucking thing was.
Man, Serpentera needs some Duracell. Some Energizer.
I made Serpentera batteries a while back. I think I still have them on my phone. I'll send them to Futures Guy.
So, here's the thing. Right off the bat, the Red Ranger does something that I have to point out.
He sits down. They're partaking in, what was that, lava juice?
Yeah, everybody drank some lava juice, and that's how they figure out what...
Well, he couldn't drink it because he has a helmet on.
Yes.
That's kind of why he didn't drink
it. By the way, it looks like just juice, man. He had to have been parched. I'd have been like... Got to keep my cover. Got to drink this weird-looking juice.
No, because in order to pull the helmet up, in order for you to drink, that means the helmet would have to come out of the, quote, shade of the hood.
All I'm saying is that hood was real big. Because it covered his entire fucking head. Like big helmet, entire. He still could have...
Right.
So, Dark Sector. Dark Sector.
I don't want to get to Dark Sector yet for one reason. Because I do have to point out something that they did right off the bat, and it does deserve talking.
Well, go ahead.
Nobody in Rangers up to this point has been able to handle the formidable hand-to-hand prowess of what it's like to face down Lord Zed. Even Tommy was made to look like a little bitch. Andros took a full, angry, slashing block from Zed. It's true the fight didn't go any further.
Right.
But that dictates the amount of power incompetence in battle that Andros supposedly has right off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah, he basically basically fought off every single group of henchmen we've seen so far, and quite a few of the, quote, big bads.
Actually, I didn't even see him fight any putties, but I don't think any putties were around.
They all kept their distance of him.
I know the birds were there, but I didn't see any of the putties.
The Tengu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Andros is a strong ranger. I mean...
He's also been doing the whole lone wolf thing since,
Yeah.
Well, before we found five teenagers with attitude.
Apparently.
He's been a ranger for a long time.
Yeah.
So he's not...
And let's be real.
Right.
I don't think he's been a ranger for too long a time. There's some information here that I started to realize, and I think I know when he went into service. I'm almost positive of it. And I think I know some other parts to his background story that we've never been told, and it does come down to a previous ranger.
Good. When we get to episode 2, we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Dark Spectre is the same, or less the same thing from the Turbo.
He's the same species at the very least.
Yep. At least, yes. And you remind me of my fiance.
Yep.
Probably because they look exactly alike, and for all you know, that could be your fiance. You don't know.
No.
You don't know.
It could be.
We're presuming it to be as much, because you got to remember, these are, you know, this show made for dumb kids, or at least that's what the writers want you to think is, are dumb kids, they don't know.
There had to have been a race of those things. He's easily explained.
There's a race of them, and Dark Spectre's the strongest of his race.
Exactly.
Supposedly.
So he.
But supposedly, I also got to point out that he's a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody knew about him. Everybody knew about him, okay? That means there's no mistaking just how broken he is. And yet, Diva Tox knew for a fact in that movie that if she could but marry that guy, she would pivot to the very top because that guy was strong enough to be the lord of all evil. That was her plan, which means that stupid volcano fish monster that we killed in one fucking sword cut.
Yep.
That means that if we still had the Turbo Megazord, Spectre better duck, motherfucker.
Yep.
I'm about to spin out all over you.
I'm about to spin all the fuck out.
We see Zordon getting drained.
And he looks so bored.
But also, they claim that once he gets drained, there'll be no more power left. So is the Morphin Grid tied into Zordon's life now?
No, but there is, just like the Force, there is an actual legitimacy here, because right now, the guy who is most tied to the Morphin Grid, and the Morphin Grid, this universe is very much good and evil. Those are two real concepts that exist.
Yep.
And you can't be one, you can't be like half and half or questionable, like you are a good guy or a bad guy. It's a very black and white universe.
Yep.
Just like the Star Wars movies, there's the light side of the Force and the dark side of the Force. And this is, once you go to the dark side, that's it. And even if you come back even the littlest bit, even if one day you throw your fucking, you know, Emperor into the 400-meter shaft of the Death Star, you're immediately a good guy. You're fucking saved. You get a Force ghost in everything.
Yep.
Remember that, Scott. If you slaughter millions of people, one good
act. Including children.
You.
Yeah, one good act.
Redeem you.
Yeah.
And you're a good person again.
Yep.
I mean, the families of those slaughtered kids will hate you forever, and they'll never look at you as being saved.
But that's assuming you survive.
But I will see you as saved.
Yeah, because there's only good guys and bad guys. And Zordon
is
the quintessential, most powerful good guy.
He's a bad guy.
I'm going to put this in quotes.
Because, to be fair, like you said, when they pick teenagers, they have no choice. I'm just teleported to the desert. In front of a weird head. That's kidnapping.
Join my group or go to the basement.
I don't care if Billy was like 20-something years old at the time. It's kidnapping. Because he's a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an adult. Doesn't matter. That's kidnapping. I was kidnapped. And he's like, you could be a ranger. And I'm like, ooh, now you're tempting me. Okay? I want.
I got candy in my basement. Exactly, if you want it some,
It's like giving candy to a child.
Technically doing that, it's out of order though, because technically you're supposed to give the candy, then take. Instead, he takes and then gives.
Well, I'm gonna be fair.
It's kind of a little ass backward
to be
on
fair,
this,
I'm
but
30 years
interdimensional.
Old, and if
I guess
we're doing this podcast, and I teleport out of here, and a weird
to the desert,
and a weird floaty head's like, "You want to be a Power Ranger?" Yeah.
Here, hold on. Let me teleport out of here.
I'd be like, yes, please tempt me with that power. I want to be a ranger. I'll pretend to be a teenager. Because you can, well, don't, that doesn't count. Tommy's a ranger. Tommy's a 70.
So, look. Okay. Where are we now?
Our rangers are approaching the ship that Andros has.
Yes, in the shuttle. Which I have a question.
What?
We all figured this out later, but the shuttle is supposed to be part of the Astro Megazord.
Yes, it is.
Andros was getting around. We're assuming that he's been a ranger for.
No, he hasn't.
He had the Astro Megazord for a while. Without the
How
shuttle.
How long do you know he's had it?
I can only assume, and I'm only making an assumption that he's been a ranger for a couple of years.
Think so?
I think so.
I can tell you how long he's been a ranger. I'm almost positive I know.
How long has he been a ranger?
Since Zio.
Which would be at least
since
a year.
Since Billy got an awful lot of free time.
Which would be about a year and a half.
Remember that Zordon...
2 years.
Zordon, quote-unquote, left that shuttle for Nasada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he left it at Nasada.
Remember that Billy was building Zords.
Yeah.
Billy was redesigning
Was working on stuff.
Billy was the Phantom Ranger.
Billy is more than likely the person who created the freaking turbo powers. Billy, we have theorized, made all the turbo Zords and even brought those other Zords with him when he came as what we know as the Phantom Ranger. And I'm still sticking to the fact I have even more evidence that seems to point to the fact that that's Billy.
No, I talked to a guy who is big into Power Rangers, just like we are at work. He believes that the Phantom Ranger was also Billy. Yeah.
Now, if you look at all that, and how many times have we been screwed without hope or purpose?
37?
Yeah,
you don't. Billy seems to have had an awful lot of things stocked away, such as a spaceship.
You think he stocked away the Astro Megazord?
But I think that when that was, I don't think the Astro Megazord was stocked away. I think he made it. And I think he knew, because he'd already done things like, let's say he could have even been involved in this point that he knew about the alien rangers.
He was probably still working on it when he got moved to Aquitar.
Very possibly. If he makes that ship, and then on top of that, Zordon and him have been working on new powers.
Right.
Well, they did figure out how to do it. Because they got the turbo powers to work. So what's to say that he didn't immediately say, well, I think that we're going to need a backup plan in case so-and-so happens. And he's starting to learn about all these different things in the universe. So, of course, he decides to make this ship.
Right.
And at the same time, he decides to start Ranger powers for space. He makes all of them, all six morphers, but as of yet, he only found two candidates. And he knew that these candidates could not have come from Earth. He couldn't have them trackable.
Right.
Because of what what might be coming. I think that he is the one that delivered those powers and that ship and gave those two guys Power Ranger powers, because also, Andros knows where the morphers are, how they work, and he knows that he has exactly this many. And it seems an awful coincidence when he runs into a group of guys that, one, brought him the head of his Megazord that he didn't even know about, because he wasn't told everything about this ship.
Yep.
Alpha's the one that went up there and knew that that black box had a code in it that created the Megazord. That means that that ship has a connection to Zordon, and that ship had to have been built by somebody in the connection of Zordon.
And Alpha said it was all part of Zordon's big scheme.
Big master plan.
Big master plan.
Master plan, probably planned with Billy.
Yep. And even though Billy was the one who was making stuff, when it comes down later on with the Delta.
There's even more proof because of the other ship.
Yeah.
The other ship is automated. Why is that important? Because there's only one other Ranger we've ever seen with an automated Zord in the history of this show.
Yep.
And guess who was around to witness it?
Uh-huh.
And guess what would still be available to study how that was done?
Billy?
No. Billy, yes, but I'm asking about the Zord. The Dragon Zord was never destroyed.
Yep.
It's still in the ocean.
It's still in the
River Ocean Lake.
And it's automated.
Yeah.
It's the only Zord we've ever known to be automated.
Billy has a lot of free time.
No, that was different. That was run off his mind. Because remember, he had to actually plug the sword in and touch the weird gym thing and stuff like that, and then he could fight inside of it and it would copy his movement. That was run off his mind.
Well, my
which is something they were playing with, a concept they gave up on, by the way.
You think maybe one time when we do these reviews, you don't analyze everything? Give me this one little bit of glory because you answered my fucking question. Because the next episode, I wanted to know, what happened to Andros' team? Why did he have all those other morphers?
He never had a team.
It was him and Zane.
That's all he had. I think they were supposed to be out looking for Rangers. Zane got hurt, and then he immediately said, fuck other Rangers.
Because Zane's like his best friend.
Yep.
And when Zane got hurt and he had to put him in that and freeze him like in a coma thing.
He was frozen today.
And the fact that that other Zord that comes out of the sky that's a contingency plan, the fact that it is automated, well, there's only one Zord left that Billy can study.
Does he dive down to the Dragon Zord and just like...
What would stop him? He had a minivan.
He built a flying car.
Doesn't mean he couldn't have built something that goes underwater.
And we know about Billy's boat.
Yep. I'm just saying that...
Billy purposely had... If our theories reign true, he purposely made aquatic equipment. Thank you.
Aquatic.
Because think about it. We theorized that he made the Zeozords. Well, guess what? One of them was a submarine. Well, why was he making one that could go around in the water when the Megazord only fought in the water once ever?
Okay. I was hoping that it was a little different, my theory on why Andros had four other morphers. Because Zane got hurt.
Yeah.
Zane got hurt pretty bad.
Yeah.
And he had to be frozen.
Right.
Well, I thought maybe Andros lost, and the reason why he was a lone wolf is because his team died.
Nope. Because he will specifically go into the story that hurt his one and only friend, his partner, which means he only ever had one other Ranger on his team, but he had the other morphers.
Plus, to make even more credence to the fact that Billy made all this shit, as they're running around and exploring everything and, you know, looking at everything, which I'm going to circle back to here in like 20 minutes because they only like explore for like all of like what? 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then they wander into a, quote, kitchen area where they use a Star Trek-like food replicator.
Yep. Yeah.
And the food replicator makes two things, Shane. Makes cheese sandwiches and fucking dew water. First thing they do, they open it up. She picks up a sandwich. Mm-hmm. And she picks up a thermos. She goes, oh, look, food. Who was around to remember suckling fucking leaves for dew water and cheese sandwiches?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that part.
Yeah, you didn't notice that
part? That part I missed.
Yeah.
Even though Andros' food had some eggs in it, though, so...
But that's another thing, too. That ship, you just said something that's very important. Andros has no idea about Earth food.
Yeah.
He has no fucking idea.
He's never been to Earth.
But Earth food is on his ship.
Yeah.
And him and Zane come from KO-35.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every time he's on Earth, he doesn't know what the fuck fries are. He doesn't know how to eat a banana.
He doesn't know
what a milkshake is.
He doesn't know what a surfboard
is. He doesn't really know what hot sauce is.
No, he just saw Bulk being a dick.
He doesn't understand human food at all. But he also doesn't understand human games.
Yep.
But programmed into that fucking device is basketball,
yep.
Billiards,
yep.
things that only fucking humans would be about. And who was a fucking human that came from Earth that would have made that ship that would have incorporated those things because that's what he understood. That's not Andros' ship.
That's yep. Rocky's ship.
If that was Rocky's ship, there would be an infirmary. That's all.
And it would have back braces.
And it would look like a trailer.
Yeah.
Yes. No, but really, Billy made that ship. Okay. Which also gives us an idea of how long Andros has been in service.
To be honest with you, though, it would have been, in my opinion, would have been a much better backstory. Is that the one reason why he did not like, he went lone wolf is because his team died. And Zane was the only survivor, but Zane got seriously injured.
But that's not the official story.
I know, but it's not.
And because it's not, we have to have a reason why those morphers are just there.
Because I was talking to a guy at work. He's just as big into Power Rangers as we are. And me and him talked about it. He's the one that brought it up. He's like, you ever notice that Andros had those morphers, but he had no other team? And I sat there, and I'm like, I never thought about that. Where the fuck did his team go?
Because he was looking for a team, and he lost the only teammate he'd procured.
And then he went lone wolf.
Yeah.
Because, and that's why he was so skeptical about TJ, Ashley, Cassie, and Carlos joining the team, because he's like, my buddy got
And
hurt.
He was also told something. He was also told something. For whatever reason, we don't know, Zordon, I think, was about to go on the offensive. And he had Billy crafting a set of new Rangers that had to be ready for space things. So, Andros specifically says to these Rangers, you guys are Earth Rangers. Yeah. You don't belong here. Yeah. I'm looking for spacers.
Yeah, I'm a spacer.
Why?
From space.
Why would he be so against people that already have even more experience than he does? Well, because he was told, you need to go out and find spacers because we're going to go on the offensive.
Yep.
Yeah, because at one point he said, you're Rangers from Earth. You know nothing of space.
Yeah.
And that's true. They don't. They were oblivious.
He was picked.
Just like he's oblivious when
he was picked.
Earth.
He was picked specifically because he was part of a human colony outside of Earth that would be more advanced and was a spacer.
Oh, shit.
And
born
an
in
orphan.
Space.
And an orphan.
Oh,
and he was an orphan, too. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Andros is a fucking orphan.
They could bring back Andros when they get the Galaxy Rangers.
They could have.
Yeah, they could
but
have.
But look.
Yeah.
Once again, our criteria.
The one Galaxy one that the Sentai did recently. From the different planets and stuff? Yeah,
oh,
that.
Okay, so when they go to do the Q-Ranger.
Yeah.
That's if they keep it in outer space, though. I mean, they may have to because there are a few fights, but.
That would be cool, but he's right. We just met our only criteria to be a Ranger. Andros is an orphan.
Yeah.
KO-35 was, they say destroyed even though every building is still intact and it looks brand new.
It was abandoned.
It's abandoned because of fighting and shit like that.
And some kind of plague.
And because of that fucking plague that
we'll
get to in a few episodes.
His only family was his sister, Caron, who was kidnapped by...
Leaving that alone right now.
Yeah, we all know who kidnapped her.
And we all know who she is, too. Yes. But we'll get there later.
Yeah, that also means that Zordon kept his criteria and was like, Billy, that guy. Well, I don't know, man. He's
he's just a kid.
He's just a kid with no parents.
No family.
And then Billy was like, wait a second.
We all had
My parents are never around. Ken's parents are never around. Trini's parents are never around.
We might as well have been orphans.
It's like Jason's parents were never around. Our parents wouldn't miss us.
You picked us because we're basically orphans.
No.
Yeah.
You're a dick.
By the way, in a fucking universe where the Power Rangers talk about the Ninja Turtles and the Ninja Turtles talk about the Power Rangers and Batman, Zordon must have watched some animated series a couple times and Alpha,
it seems
we
like...
need a Robin. Find me orphans.
Yeah.
And that became the criteria.
Because I think Andros mentions his parents, and I think I don't think he, without saying the words dead.
But they wouldn't miss him.
Yeah. No, because KO-35...
They don't know where the fuck he is or what he's doing.
Nope, we don't know where anybody from KO-35
exactly.
is.
They wouldn't miss him.
The only people from there that we see is Zane.
They wouldn't miss him. And Zane has no parents either. They wouldn't miss
him.
No.
Orphan. Silver
Orphan.
Ranger.
Yeah.
The legacy
of, the
legacy of Zordon is built on orphans.
Yep.
Or as close as they can get with parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my God.
Because the parents are there, they just... They're not there.
So our Rangers see a Red Ranger appear on the ship. Oh, shit!
And TJ, being the stout leader, is like, we're not here to hurt you.
Yes.
And he goes on the attack.
TJ has learned a lot. He is a better leader at this point, and he is commanding and taking care of his group.
Oh, yeah. He's obviously still a Red Ranger without being a Red Ranger.
Right.
And there's a reason why they made him second in command. The Blue Ranger in space is second in command.
He should have been. He should have been the Red Ranger.
I'm not going to fight you on this because we got a long episode.
Okay, look.
Because you know my Andros is my guy.
That's fine. Andros?
That's fine.
Andros, in his 15 episodes, he's the worst leader we have ever had in the series yet.
Not to mention the fact that there's one thing
he's conflicted.
Bullshit. Doesn't matter. There's one thing that pisses me off majorly about this. What is the Blue Ranger?
Supposed to be the smartest one.
What was Carlos fucking doing? Carlos, very beginning, he's fixing Alpha. Not only is he fixing Alpha, he's looking around the ship, spilling fucking techno babble.
So what you're saying,
you know who gets to become the Blue Ranger?
TJ.
The guy who finds a random cable that's hanging and sparking and shoves it into a fucking open slot. Blue Ranger, he's a fucking genius. He knew to put the peg, he put the round peg inside the round hole. Genius!
No, but realistically, so far, we have been able to tag that there's something strange about the way the powers work.
Yep.
And that red is very much courage and leadership.
Yep.
And
we've been able to see
that.
Blue seems to be intelligence. And we've been able to prove that even when dumber characters end up in blue, they end up with intelligence episodes.
The Black Ranger, at least in my
Black slash green, depending.
Black Ranger,
Black seems
charisma.
To be... No, Black often seems to be the...
Outgoing.
No, he's the one that pushes forward. The Black Ranger has often been the muscles of the team.
Oh.
So they usually utilize heavy axes and bigger weapons.
I was paying attention every time they morphed. I don't know if you guys did. They have stats. Did you guys see their stats?
Well, not only the stats, but I saw the weird words that kept popping up, too.
Well... And a corner, every time they morph, they have three stats.
Yeah.
Speed, agility, power, and I don't know what the middle one was. But
probably power, agility, and speed.
With a 400 is the Black Ranger. Carlos is physically the strongest Ranger.
Which means that maybe he was put in the black suit specifically because no matter how smart he is, he is the strength. He's the tank of the
agility
team.
Agility is Andros. He actually has high agility. Same thing with TJ.
Right.
The weakest, but power-wise, the two weakest power is
that's
Ashley.
Of course the girls.
Yeah.
No. Ashley and TJ with a 280. Physically, they're the weakest.
Okay.
But the Pink Ranger's a 300. She's strong. She's got. She's pretty. She's
kind of in the middle.
She's average. But I think 350 is what Andros is with strength. 400 is Carlos. Carlos is the muscle.
Yeah, which if our theories so far have been
because
Black Ranger is often the tank.
And Judah Ranger taught me that Mammoth Ranger Man, he's the only guy I can't...
Ghosh.
Ghosh. He's the only one I can't remember his name. Ghosh obviously was physically the strongest.
Right.
He was the biggest guy.
Right, but at the same time, the stats also come over with the weakened graphics, meaning all the stats are from the actual Sentai team,
and
possibly these guys. However, since they put them in those roles, I kind of get it because, again, they keep doing that thing where it's, okay, this one's the Black Ranger, okay, now this one, black goes to green, okay, now green goes to black, now black goes to green, then green goes to black. So, I get it, but at the same time, when you're pushing, hey, this dude's going to be the fucking smart motherfucker.
You believe that Carlos should have been blue.
Carlos, okay, just because he's... Okay, here's the thing. No, you may be able to say this still works for one reason. TJ was the kind of leader who just jumped and figured it out on his way down.
Yep.
But there's been a massive change because as you watch this, he is the one... who is the tactician of the group now.
Fair enough.
Because I can't tell you how many episodes he has to save Andros' ass.
Because
Andros is an awful fucking leader.
Especially that last episode we watched.
Yeah, to be honest with you, you have to also remember that Andros didn't have a team.
Don't care.
He had one guy.
He's in red. He is the leader.
Yeah.
and they have already put their faith in him.
I believe that Andros...
And it's time to grow the fuck up.
I believe that Andros gets better as the series goes on.
I certainly hope so, because these 15 episodes, he's awful.
Well,
he goes off on his own all the fucking time.
Yeah.
He's constantly in battles by himself. The Red Ranger, Jason, fought enemies by himself and has beaten more monsters on his own than any other leader we have ever seen. But he never confronted those monsters because he was a lone wolf. He did it because he had to.
There's something that Andros reminds me of.
What's that?
I know this old miniseries back in the 80s. I don't know if anybody would remember it. It's called V. There was a character on there called Mike Donovan who always broke away from the group, always did solo missions and stuff. And he's supposed to be one of these lead characters in this resistance group, and yet he's out here doing solo stuff, just like Andros.
Right.
Right.
Here's my thing.
Right, but the problem with Andros is when it comes down to it, he tries to do this more like he's just Solid Snake type of thing. Like, not so much the sneaking and shit, just more like, I'm the badass, I got this.
Here's the thing.
Let me do this.
I'm going to try to defend Andros' actions.
Where are we at in this episode? Because right now they encountered him and they did have a confrontation.
Astronomer is attacking the ship.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
What kind of ship is it that she's using?
That weird, it looks like a tiger.
Some tiger
thing. It's like a weird tiger ship.
Yeah.
And it shoots out lasers from its tail.
Was it from the tail or was it from the whiskers?
The tail comes up like a snake.
Okay.
And it's firing.
Yeah.
But it obviously looks like a tiger.
Right. So she's riding a tiger. She's riding the tiger variant of the first boss of Final Fantasy VII.
Yes. She was following Andros back to his ship. So.
Now, you're right. They have a confrontation. Andros is like, "Who are these people on my ship?"
And they crash land onto a planet.
Understandable why he would be like, what the fuck?
Because when he left, there was nobody on the ship.
And then he gets back and there's a bunch of people.
Yep.
There's four people on my ship. And why? And
aliens!
And they look all torn up, too.
He's like confused. Like, first off, how'd you get on my ship?
Yeah.
Second off, why are you on my ship? I don't know you. And they look at him and like, oh, what's up?
He also doesn't have time to deal with it.
No.
Yeah.
So he kicks him around the best he can. He tries to lock down the bridge to deal with the situation at hand.
I'll deal with you guys later. We're being attacked.
Yeah.
My focus is on not dying.
Yes.
Yeah. And then once they get clear from the bridge, he goes back up there to try make sure that the ship doesn't get totally destroyed in the crash landing.
He goes outside of the ship when it crash lands to confront Astronomer.
That time that they fixed it, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh shit, they really are not here to hurt me.
Well, he never demorphed until he was on the planet's surface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not until after they're done with the
big fight. Nobody knew what he looked like. For all we know, he could have been a lizard.
This episode ends with them leaving the ship.
With four idiots not in spacesuits just... Hey, they're on a planet surface. Let's go down there.
Space, I'm telling you, this is the Superman 4 universe. Space does not have an effect on people.
Exactly.
Yes, we will get to that later.
Yeah.
They do that shit all the fucking time.
We will get to that later.
Drives me goddamn insane.
Yeah. But yeah, the episode ends with them running away from the ship towards whatever putty thing.
Okay, so yes, the ship crashes.
Yeah.
And they get their way up to the bridge after they helped fix the ship and save the ship. They go up to the bridge, the ship crashes or whatever, and they're like, okay, what's going on? And he's like, doesn't matter what's going on, we're under attack, I gotta go out there and I gotta save us. And
they're like,
what? Excuse me, we're Power Rangers. And he's like, I don't know anything about that, basically.
What are Power Rangers?
It's basically what he's like. Yeah, and that's another thing, too, that proves to us that he was just given this power. This isn't handed down by a legacy or something like that. He doesn't know what that really even means. He was given a bunch of morphers and told to find a crew.
Yep.
And he never completed that task.
So somebody had to have shown him how to morph.
Originally.
Yeah.
And it's somebody, Billy, who had plenty of free time.
Yep.
We think Billy gave him a quick rundown of what a Power Ranger is. You're a Power Ranger.
And because Billy did not have the time to train him or do anything of that nature, because they really were crunched for time. We were dealing with our own situation.
Yeah.
Billy created a device that would train him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the holodeck thing.
Yeah, that's why he has a holodeck.
That's why he has the holodeck. Specifically, that was originally designed for two things: recreation and training.
Because you don't know how deep in space you're going
to be. And probably education, too, considering how young he might have been.
Yes, and that holodeck specifically knows what Rangers are and how to battle them, which forces him to be competent in his own power.
But considering how long it might have been since he heard the word Power Rangers.
If he ever heard it.
Yeah. There's a good chance that Billy never explained that there were other Rangers on Earth.
Yeah. They might have been keeping these two teams separate because they needed one team.
A ground
that
team.
They needed an offensive unit that could move out and start taking pieces of the Empire.
Yep.
Basically, Andros' team is a strike team.
Yeah, yep. I think it was meant to be a strike team.
Yeah.
Black Ops.
Which is probably the reason why it is he doesn't know much on leadering, even though he's the fucking Red Ranger. It's because it's, all right, guys, get in there and do your thing. And that's all the leader he has to be.
But, so that episode ends with them running out of the ship.
Yep.
So episode two is From Out of Nowhere, Part two.
Which is them running out of the ship to go fight.
In which our Rangers get their asses kicked by the Quantron thing.
Now, the Quantrons have these weapons that are similar to the Klingon weapon.
Yes, look very much like a Batleth kind of design.
Yes.
Although, considering the fact that they make how many different fucking pop culture references to other sci-fi shows.
This is slightly Star Trek influenced, too, when you watch
Heavily Star Trek.
Yeah.
With a bit of Star Wars in one episode.
Right. They were taking from sci-fi that they knew worked and hoping they could dumb it down just enough to make it work for kids and Power Rangers.
Right.
I think it did because I really like this series.
It's decent.
I really like this series.
I have my issues here and there.
I will tell you that Mighty Morphin, I go back to it because that's my nostalgic. That was my first Ranger series.
Right.
But then when Space came out, it blew me away. It really did.
Right.
And it actually saved the series, to be fair.
True.
Because this series was so successful.
It was immediately after a what the fuck series.
Yes. And
right.
Because it was so good, they kept it going because it was going to get canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Turbo
the reason.
Did not live up to expectations. And Space was the last season, but they were like, man, people are watching this show.
So they get their asses kicked.
Yeah. Yes, they do. And they get their asses kicked.
Then he beats them all down.
Yes, because he's
and morphed. They run away.
And then after he beats them down,
he powers down.
He's basically like, okay, this is me. That's you.
You're human.
Yeah.
Ashley makes fun of that, too. When he walks away, and he's like, you're human? And she's like, well, how was I supposed to know? He could have been a lizard person.
So he tries to open up a little bit. He's like, okay, here's trust. This is me. That's you. I'm going to go get your shit ready. You're not supposed to be here.
I'm sending you back to Earth.
Yeah.
You're going back to Earth because you're not don't know jack or shit about space.
And they kept saying that, well, we're all in this together. We're looking for Zordon, too, just like you are.
But that's not his mission.
He's a lone wolf. He's a lone ranger.
His mission only became Zordon recently.
I'm positive that
his team was supposed to be in prep. He was supposed to be building a team that would have been a strike force against the Empire.
Yep. Strike and infiltration.
And later on in this episode, we're talking like at the end, I'm going to do my best to convince you that Andros is good. He'll be a good leader.
Well, that's fine.
Okay,
so where are we? He's sending them home.
He's helping Alpha get his voice back by going through the voice tryouts for the new Alpha.
Yes.
That's fine. Yeah. He fixes Alpha's voice.
Yeah, because my next note is Dickhead Red leaves others on planet with ship that doesn't have rockets that can break into space on its own if there's an actual atmosphere on this planet.
And Alpha gets left behind on the ship.
They forgot.
Alpha purposely stayed behind on the ship.
Yeah. But Alpha had a damn good point because he's going to need all the help to not only find Zordon, but save him.
He knows Alpha.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Billy explained it to him.
That's just it.
How does he?
He knows Alpha. He knows Alpha, knows what it is, knows how to fix him.
Yep.
And trusts Alpha's judgment when Alpha says, look, man, I get it. He basically says, I know why you were selected originally, but plans have changed. That's basically what this argument came down to, was look, I know that you're out here looking for your own team.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you got your own shit going on, But right now,
finding Zordon is our priority.
Yes, the mission is changed. Now, finding Zordon is the priority, and those guys already know how to do this.
And not only that, but you were looking for your team, and just so happened you have four extra morphers, and you were handed
a group of people,
happened to be ex-Rangers.
Yep.
They came across your ship. They were basically spoon-fed to you.
It literally doesn't get any better than this.
You need these four.
And why does he take Alpha's judgment? Because I think Alpha was one of the guy. I think Alpha, Zordon, and Billy were making trips into space because the Rangers were at school and camping and snowboarding and shit.
And while they were doing that,
I think Zordon and them were working on something else, which has been proven multiple times that the technology in the command center is never stagnant. It is always changing, always developing, always advancing, always redesigning.
Well, right. It was until it got bloated up.
Right.
Wait,
transferred elsewhere.
I just thought of something.
What's that?
Zordon can disappear.
No.
At any time. No?
I think Zordon is bound to a set of distribution tubes.
Yeah.
Where he can go, he can just go to the tube on Earth.
Because there was a tube in a basement area, not our joke, an actual, there was a subsection command center where he could go down there. There was the above command center, which no longer exists.
Yep.
That first tube was destroyed, which means they probably took the only tube they had left and moved it up.
So I'm wondering if there's like other tubes in other places then.
There may have originally been, but he's stuck in the one they detached him. Because he's being transferred, his essence is being transferred through computer systems. And when they unplugged him, he's stuck in that terminal.
I literally think that, I also think there's a tube on Aquitar.
There might have been, but
I guess there very well taken. Could be. But he can't move from the one he's in.
No.
Yeah.
Because it's just like a communication relay, he has to be able to move through an open circuit. It's closed, he's stuck in there.
Yep.
Which is why they're corrupting him, just like you would corrupt in darkness. And just like we destroy that tube at the end, spoilers, and release the Z-Wave, and massive rush of positive energy across the universe, I think their idea was to drop a negative A-bomb on the galaxy.
Yep.
So more or less transfer Zordon to negative energy
and
then
destroy him.
Yeah, turn everybody
evil. And it would be
evil.
The difference of the Z-Wave cutting across the
basically,
universe.
Basically, Zordon knew going into this that he was nothing more than on a suicide mission.
He was their weapon.
He was a ticking time bomb.
He was their weapon. He was a ticking time bomb, and if the Rangers couldn't get to him, he was going to be responsible for destroying everything.
Yep.
And at the end, I know we're skipping way ahead, but because we know the series, okay? The reason he finally said, listen, destroy this tube. I won't even take the chance of you failing here, not being able to win this fight, and then I go back into their hands, and then I'm responsible for the destruction of an entire galaxy. Break my tube right now, and I can solve all of this. Mm. I would use the exact same weapon that they were planning to use against the galaxy against them. Destroy this tube.
Yep.
That's what that conversation at the end is really about. Because right now, we're already seeing them set it up. They want to corrupt the energy in the tube. Why? We know the Z-Wave is a thing. So we're not waiting till the end of the whole series to know this information. We know it. So we could speculate right now, they were turning Zordon into a weapon.
Yep. And especially because...
It takes a long time
because they have to corrupt... He is the most powerful positive source of energy in the universe.
I think he was barely halfway at the end, wasn't he?
I cannot remember, honestly.
All I know
is that it
takes a very long time to corrupt it.
And not only does it take a very long time, but if you look at it in terms of Star Wars, because we play a lot of those games like the KOTORs and that, the light side is usually what color?
White. Blue.
Blue.
It's like a blue and a white.
And if you look at the corruption,
it's always
it's red.
And black.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of Star Wars good guy, bad guy, dark side, light side shit happening in Power Rangers.
Yeah. Yep.
But
all right, so where are we?
Okay, so,
they are morphing. Their first time morphing where they
Quantrons
like,
come down and
not
beat
quite
their
yet cuz technically they were running away from lasers in human form without any morphers.
Yeah, they were going to die.
Yeah.
This was
Strymon
their
was gonna
end.
Kill them.
Yeah.
And then, because Carone, unlike, here's the thing.
Astronomer.
Right off the bat, I'm sorry, yes, I apologize. Same person, but I get the, yes, at this right point, now she astronomer. Is astronomer. We have
at this
to remember
point,
that.
Astronomer.
We have to remember that, because these are different characters.
Yes, they are.
Because just like in Star Wars, once you're saved, you're Anakin Skywalker.
Anakin and Darth Vader are two different people.
They're two different people.
But even though so, the
Darth Vader's
exactly.
Yeah. Darth Vader's better.
So, yes, we can't call her Carone because there is a legitimate difference by the rules of this universe.
Yep.
Astronomer. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat. Right off the bat, we get to do something we haven't got to do in a long motherfucking time. Aside from the fact that I was able to... I feel like, even though I don't like it, I can prove that there was a competence to dumb bitch.
Yeah.
There's an immediate competence to this bad guy when she comes down to a planet, she sees these people, and she says, now wait, you guys were Power Rangers? And they're like, that's right. And she's like, so this is what happens when you're not Power Rangers, right? And they're like, yeah. And she's like,
I'll be right back.
I'm going to kill you now. I'm going to do that.
I'll be right back. I got to go get my world-ending laser. Hold on.
I'm going to go get my world-ending laser and blow you the fuck away.
Because
I'm not going to shoot little lightning bolts that make you flip.
Actually, when she
I'm
was walking away,
blow
she
your
talked
ass
to the,
away.
She talked to the lead Quantitron. She's like, destroy them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what that meant? Hold them right there.
Yeah.
I'll be.
She
ready.
Was already
she
opening
better.
Up a hole in the atmosphere. Yep.
Yeah.
When she and
they used to, be Power Rangers. Destroy them means they're going to kick your ass. They might not have powers right now, but they're still going to kick your ass a little. Hold them right the fuck there.
Hold them right there, because I'm about to fucking Danze Ba fucking orbital strike these motherfuckers into nothingness.
And before that could happen, the Astro Mega Ship comes down, fucking flies right over them, and blows the fucking Quantrons away, because... Shoot!
Because
that's a lot of wind.
Because plot armor. Yeah.
Yep. And fucking parks it and fucking runs out and is like, here, take these.
Take these morphers that I
take
have.
Take these and do what I do.
But we have analyzed. Oh, and by the way, they morphed.
Yep. They look like they're waking up.
They morphed. There's a reason I had a problem with that scene.
Scott? Well, after he hands it to him, Andrew says, let's
rock it.
There we go. How do they know to hit 335?
They didn't. They didn't know.
He did.
Nobody told them a goddamn thing. And he didn't do it first and then them watch
well, hold
him.
On. Let me borrow that real quick.
He did say, just do what I do.
And turn it back
since
on.
It is
no, I don't need it on.
Since it is a keypad.
See, they've got this little cheat sheet up here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's cheat sheet.
Does it say morph or
it
something?
It says 335 and then hit enter and then
okay.
It shows Ranger.
No. It says that on the toy.
No, it shows
on his. No, it doesn't do it on the morpher.
That's bad.
It's close up.
That's stupidity then.
Yeah.
No, that's hardcore stupidity. That means any moron can get a hold of those.
Wrap it up and go, oh, boop,
I could find. I could find this thing and not turn into the Green Ranger. I don't know how to use it.
Yep. You don't know that you have to say morph in time,
yep.
Flip the coin, hit to do the thing.
I don't know how
that,
to use it.
Yeah,
while
this,
there,
you
while
strap
there
it
are
on
things
your
I love
boop,
about
boop,
this
boop,
show,
boop, boop, boop.
This series, I thought was really good. There are things that are bad. This
here's
morpher,
what I'm gonna give. Here's what I'm going to give the cheat sheet. This is the only reason it works. The only reason it works is right here.
Mm-hmm.
While Billy, Zordon, and Alpha were able to get these two guys ready, they weren't able to train them. They left a training holodeck, and the cheat sheet was put on the morpher, assuming that it would be taken off later.
Yeah.
But Andros doesn't know about that
shit. Because there's even a million other codes in here, too. Like, let's see, 259 looks like it's the rocket jet.
Yep.
One of them actually teleports you.
761 gets you the tank that we'll see later.
There is a combination that makes you teleport.
The only reason that works is because that cheat sheet was put on there because he was not fully trained.
Yep, exactly.
Now, that's the only thing, that is the only reason that when he's like, watch what I do, and he pushes the button and it flips open so they do it.
Okay.
But he already knows the input.
So they can look at that
and
they're like, morph, I see it.
Okay, 335.
So, yeah, because technically the way that it should have gone is it should have gone, do what I do. And he pushes it, and then they push it, and they look and they go, oh. And as he hits three, they hit three. So it should have gone 3-3, 3-3, 5-5.
Because to be fair, it does tell you, well, even in the show, when you hit three, the morpher says 3-3-5.
Yeah. So technically, there should have been a slight delayed reaction.
That's fine. I'm willing to accept that because of the storyline we've laid down and the fact that you had the prop. That fixes that for me. I like that.
Not only that, but like Scott said, because this is their first time morphing, it's like they're awakening again.
Yeah.
Because they're standing there and they open their eyes and the fucking and it shows them their costume, and then bam, they're morphed.
Yeah.
Like you're awakening, you're becoming something again.
Yeah,
I like that.
Because then he pulls out the fucking drill saber and all of a sudden they're like, and I want to do that too.
Everyone learns their weapons already.
Yeah.
Well, we already figured out.
We already know what's going on with that morphing. Memories and I'm telling you, I'm tired of it. Every single time we do this, I bring this up. Every single time we do an episode, I bring this up.
Yep.
The powers transfer memories and skills.
Yep.
And experience.
And experiences to the users. And augment the human form. And you're going to say, I've got people that are like, that's bullshit. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I went back and watched all our previous stuff, all our previous episode reviews before I came in here to do this one. And I was reading some of the comments, and they were like, oh, the Power Rangers are not augmented. They're only augmented in the Ranger form. Bullshit, because the next episode, the same fucking Quantrons that killed all fucking four of these motherfuckers, or would have, they didn't stand a goddamn chance. They lost to these things twice. They will beat their ass in human form without competition in the very next fight.
Yep.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
They fight monsters out of the suit, and while they don't beat their ass,
they
held their own.
Exactly.
Exactly. And here's more credence to Billy Made It.
Yeah.
More credence to Billy Made It. Let me try that out. And it goes to POV perspective. You were looking for through TJ's eyes at his fucking screen monitor in his visor, and a little drop-down menu comes up. And it's like the fucking the eye tracker that they have now. And he fucking looks up at his fucking little axe, and it comes down, and it goes, there's that, here's this. Oh, click that. Hey, look, I have an axe now.
Well,
oh, shit.
Well, the reason why that is there is because this
Digital
is a digital
shit. Yes.
Digital, yeah.
But at the same time, it still works out to
it
our
worked,
theory of Billy Made It because...
And he knew
random jackass.
And he knew there had to be a training program inserted into the morphing system
to teach you to not be a dumb fuck and how
because
to be a ranger.
Because nobody was going to be there to teach these guys.
Yeah,
they were going to have even less leadership. They were going to have even less mentorship than the original Rangers had. They had to be trained on the spot, quickly tutorial menus.
Yep.
I agree. No, that's perfect. I'm okay with that. You know, they knew how to morph because it's a cheat sheet in the morpher.
Yes.
Right.
So they never take away because
and at the
and
same
because
time,
they've also
when
been
the
Rangers
technology
previously.
When the technology activates, there's some sort of cheat sheet running in their visor.
And that, yep, and he's like, when he sees the spiral saber, Carlos like, I gotta give me some of that Lunar Lance.
Right.
Astral Axe.
Just to mention the weapons, I know we've done it on the fucking costume reviews. I like that lance. I like it for one reason. It is different than any ranger weapon we've seen yet. We've seen guns.
Yeah.
Yes,
we've seen the swords and things like that. Sure, spiral saber is spiral saber is slightly different. It's a fucking sword.
It's a drill.
But
it's
here's
a drill
the thing
that he can swing,
which we'll see again later.
We haven't seen a bow staff.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a bow staff. Sure, it's got that little moon on the end, but that's not actually its primary thing. It is a bow staff. We've never seen one.
No.
The closest we came was the lance. And the power lance he used to stab people.
Yeah.
Because it didn't have a trident? Because
it's an actual,
Wasn't it like a trident?
He had the power lance.
The power lance was Billy's.
Yeah.
And yes, it's basically, it's a trident spear.
Because when they made the gun...
But
they,
this one doesn't break apart. This one is very much like a pike or a bow staff.
Yeah. And because of the crescent moon shape at the end, he can grab, and that's why he grabbed that guy and lifted him up.
Yes.
Now, I tend to like the fight scenes where I see that thing used because it's different and interesting.
TJ got the Astral Axe. Okay. You are not Zag.
Like
you did
weapon.
Not get man-sized
didn't
axe.
Didn't like that weapon. Kind
got,
of weak and sad
he
looking.
He got hand axe.
Well, Zach had
there's a reason.
Zach had an axe. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is
Zach,
the reason why as I laughed later on at the termite one.
He had a
I've got my axe. Oh fuck, I ain't got nothing.
TJ
now.
Had a hatchet.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had like a death hatchet.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Zach had an axe. Nobody yet has had a battle axe. No.
Yeah. And then you've got Ashley has the slingshot thing. What's it called?
Stupid.
Because the satellite stunner or whatever.
It's called stupid, I think. I think it's like sling blaster, I think.
She's got like a slingshot blaster.
Stupid.
And then Cassie gets the satellite.
Yeah,
satellite dish ray gun.
It's fine.
There's only one weapon you don't like.
They get guns.
They have guns too.
They get guns, and you know what's dumb about that?
Mm.
They already had guns.
Yeah.
They get guns, and even though they all they have to do is be like, oh, I got a gun.
Exactly.
I got two guns.
They're like, well, this gun stuns people.
Right.
Yay.
Why don't you use the gun on your belt? There's a gun on my belt?
Exactly.
Oh, wow, there's a gun
belt. They already had guns.
Although, don't get me wrong, then you've got chicks running around dual-wielding pistols and shooting
people. My favorite weapon is Carlos's. I love that Lunar Lance.
I did. Yeah. I thought that was the coolest weapon of this series that I've seen.
Oh, until you get to
I like Andros's, but it sucks that it breaks so easily.
Also doesn't do what it's supposed to. Look.
It's a drill.
No, it's not.
No.
Because it doesn't spin.
It should spin.
But it doesn't.
It only spins when he attaches it to his blaster and uses it as a blaster drill gun.
So since it doesn't spin, it's not really a drill. It's a drill head.
Yeah.
Which would make more sense every time he swings it if it spins. Because then I could be like, well, you just have a swinging drill.
Yeah.
You have a drill.
Right.
Weapon is a drill.
He just has a weapon that breaks a lot.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's
not made of.
I don't think his weapon. He so far, of the Red Rangers,
he's got the weak.
Rocky had the saddest weapon.
Yeah.
Didn't he get the power sword?
No.
No.
What did he get? I can't remember.
Nothing.
Yeah.
He couldn't bring the power sword, remember?
No. Rocky's power was getting a broken back.
It never appeared again.
Yeah.
After we get Rocky, the power sword never makes another appearance ever again.
There is no more sword of power.
So
it's gone.
Of all the bad weapons we've seen, Rocky got the worst.
Because he got nothing.
Because he got...
Well,
I don't even think he was able to use that gun. Did he ever use the Zhurenja blaster?
I don't know. I thought he did.
He might have once or twice.
He might have.
Did he get a weapon in Zeo, though?
He gets the Zhurenja blaster.
When he becomes fucking the Tyrannosaurus Red.
Oh, my God.
What weapon did
he get in Zeo? No, I can't remember.
I thought he had something in Zeo.
Oh, my gosh. We'll come back.
Why do we have to ask fucking questions? This is a goddamn Jabba Wrestling Corner. Where we ask stupid fucking questions.
But while you're doing that, we'll continue. So they fight, they morph, they fight off the Quantrons.
And this is where we get to see the Megazord come together.
Yes.
Yes, and by the way, once again, I'm going to be able to prove this later on. This Megazord is at least 40% automated. Other Megazords have not been automated. This is not just that they automatically knew how to pilot it.
No.
This sword is 40% automated.
I want to ask this. We know that the original Sentai footage is a digital team.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And this Megazord is forming in space.
Yes.
From what I understand, they fight in both real world and some sort of jacked-in state.
Okay, so this Robo-Zord is actually happening in space.
Yeah, from what I understand, this thing is in the real world.
Okay.
And then somehow... Because there's weird episodes where, like, people, like, come out of nowhere or, like, phase into existence and different things like that.
Oh, that's right. He was still blue at that time, wasn't he? Yeah, so technically he would have gotten, aside from the standard sword and gun that everybody got in Zeo, he got power Tonfas.
He got the Tonfas.
Yes, I do remember that now.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have got that.
Because Green got fucking hatchets.
Yeah, little two-handed hatchets.
Which is surprising, because now we have a blue with a hatchet.
Because
you're not taking away that fucking power.
And who was around to see hatchets?
Billy. We've already...
Although, apparently, according to
this... We've already figured out Billy is God of Rangers.
I'm just saying.
But according to this, sadly, it's something that I don't think they ever used. Apparently, Yellow got fucking nunchucks, and I don't remember that at all.
Probably in Sentai footage that we didn't
use. Exactly.
Because I don't remember that in our series even once.
But that's because, of course, nunchucks and then dumb little kids and whack!
That was a thing at the time. Nunchucks were actually, like, there was a weird thing where nunchucks could not appear on television.
Yep.
Like, if in Ninja Turtles, they took Michelangelo's nunchucks away and gave him, like, a rope.
Yep.
Actually, they gave him the baton things.
Yeah, but, like, in our Turtles, in the original Turtles, the 80s, they gave him a rope with a turtle shell on the end.
Yeah, I thought he meant the next mutation thing, which he got the baton things, but...
Yes.
So they transform the Astro Megazord and take out Astronema's ship, which, if she was actually on there, this would be a short series.
Right, this is the first time that they've ever had to form a Megazord, by the way, without having... This is more proof that Billy may have made this. This wasn't just like they couldn't just pass knowledge through the grid and say, hey, this is how this is done. And the reason they couldn't do that is for one simple reason. This Megazord had never been formed.
Yep.
Yeah, he was missing the head. He was missing the
shuttle.
He didn't
even know it was a thing.
Yep.
That part...
Although, to make matters worse, they took off on the big ship and left their fucking space shuttle down on the
you
planet.
You noticed that, too?
That magically showed back up, because they're like, fucking...
Because it was automated.
Got to do the thing.
It was designed to meet back up with the ship, and here's what was really going on.
And that happens later on when they get to other...
Zordon
yeah.
meant for this guy to go out and collect a team. After he had a team, he would finalize the team by granting them a Megazord. They were not supposed to be in combat yet. They were supposed to be training and finding members.
Yep, because Alpha overrid everything. It was like, here's a Megazord, go!
But they entered combat early, and one of the members paid the price.
Yep.
Zane.
They thought they were ready. They were not ready.
And Zane paid the price.
And Zane paid the price.
Nearly his life.
His life, yes. But the Megazord, it's never been used. They almost didn't form the thing right. There's a little bit of trouble, like, unlike every other time with, like, oh shit, form the Megazord. Fucking crazy stuff. This time they knew they had to, like, fly around and do this, but, like, they had to work with one another to make it happen, because this was the first time they'd ever had to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just some weird memory that had been implanted.
I don't know if it was this episode or one of the other episodes. It's like, they just parked the shuttlecraft into the ship.
Yeah, they just parked it in, and then they're like, okay, now we got to morph, and then it fucking goes back out. And it's like,
yeah, because it shoots out with blinding speed and rips around as the rest of the Zord forms.
And, to make matters worse, we'll notice it in later episodes when they use the Megazord. Proof is in the pudding here. There's other times where other people will sit in the fucking cockpit. That's Red Spot. That's always been Red Spot, is at the front. There's other times you'll have Ashley fucking pilot it, or Carlos might pilot the Megazord. TJ has.
Well, especially if the episode is about them.
Right.
They get to call the Megazord.
They'll get to call it and pilot it.
They get to do it because it's their episode.
And Red will just, I guess fucking running systems checks now.
But I can prove to you that part of the reason that that's okay is because the Megazord is at least 40% automated.
Yep.
They don't do everything that they're doing. They have a basic control over the Megazord, and there's an AI that does the rest.
Yeah, the AI, the DECA AI is...
DECA.
Yeah, because like I said, there's literally... Red's cockpit is most of the controls. Everything else is keyboards for you to do system checks.
Yep. Which is why it was weird later
or
on.
Or download fucking music off of fucking Napster, since that was still a thing. A
few episodes later when Alpha took command of the Megazord.
That's exactly what I was getting at. Alpha does not pilot it. He just tells it what to do. He says, weapon systems, go on the defense, use the shield.
Yeah.
And the Zord is automated enough for an AI system to simply know, I should be attacking now.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I should be defending now. But then when it starts getting into trouble, it doesn't have any instinct.
No.
So it doesn't know how to protect itself properly, because it's about 40% automated. The Rangers being there is important.
Yes.
But a good portion of this Zord is doing its own battle.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're like, I know we need to attack. We don't quite understand these systems yet. And they're kind of grabbing the controls and they're going at it. And as they're testing, the Zord is filling in the blanks.
Well,
Now, what happens at the end of this episode? I can't quite remember.
The end of the episode.
After they destroy the ship.
They're talking about.
I gotta go get Charger. Phone's gonna die. Damn notes.
They're talking about getting back to Earth, and Andros is so reluctant to go to Earth for some reason. It's like he doesn't even want to go there.
He's like, he knows nothing about it.
Because Ashley.
I wonder if it was that or he has some bad history with Earth.
He knows nothing about
Ashley
it.
Ashley even.
He doesn't know what fries are, doesn't know what milkshakes are, doesn't
asks,
know what a pool table
Earth,
is.
And he's
hell,
like, never.
When they walk into the.
Surf shack.
The surf shack.
Oh.
When they walk into that, he's never been in a restaurant.
The surf spot, I think is what it's called.
Yeah. Actually, we was going to bring that up in the next episode.
But
he doesn't know what that thing
that
is.
That is where the episode ends. They have to go back to Earth to get parts.
Okay, so. Yeah. Origin-wise, because we always spend the most time on the origin before we cut into the big part of the review.
And
it's
thankfully
always
not five episodes for an origin.
But to be fair, the origin always kills us about an hour, because we got to talk about the foundations of everything that we're
after
about
that,
to search.
After that, these next episodes will go quick.
Yeah.
This is a pretty solid origin.
I liked it.
It does a good job of setting the mood, introducing
it
a new character.
Mostly carries over.
Mostly carries over. And I believe most all that I see in a legitimate way, and I'm ready for the rest of the series. This was a very solid origin.
Yes, I agree. I like this one. Is it the best? No. I've actually seen origins that are far better. Trust me.
So where are we at?
The third episode. Save Our Ship.
Now, this starts off on the Simu holodeck.
Yes, not Tommy. My God. TJ and Ashley.
They're fighting these things that we'll see later on.
The training protocol putties.
Yeah.
And then,
which I think those are the putties in the Sentai footage, and the Quantitrons are the American ones.
Although, this is funny, though. I don't know if it happened at the end of the last episode or this episode. I can't remember. But when they said that we need to go back to Earth to get
parts
supplies
to
fix the ship. And they're like, we need to set a course for... Earth, Alpha's like, I can do that, and Deku's like, no, it's fine, I mean, I can easily...
But,
course set.
But,
and then Deku
but
just
Alpha.
Shut up.
Yeah. But Alpha, don't
That's
you know that setting a
off.
Course is going to take a very long time?
No, he turned her off.
Done.
He turned her off.
Yeah.
He wasn't setting the course, but
no,
right
he turned
that,
her off, and he's like, course is set for Earth!
Yeah, but that's what I'm telling you, mm-hmm. is that for some reason... Look... Deku was designed to be 40% an automated program that would help these Rangers that were not trained. Now
right.
that Alpha's there, Alpha doesn't see a reason for Deku.
Mm-hmm.
When Alpha walked up to the controls, one of the first things that fucking Andros was telling everybody was like, this is how you fucking turn that bitch up. This is how you turn her off. You shut her up. Beep that button. Now, mm-hmm. after he does that, Deku's like, I'll set the course because that's primarily my job. And Alpha's like, indeed, and just told her to shut the fuck up. And then he did it.
Yeah.
Why? Because Deku is a training program.
And now that Alpha's here.
Right.
Alpha yeah. doesn't see a purpose to it.
Which is the reason why later on he's like, in that exact same instance, he's like, sorry, hopefully you don't hold a grudge. I'm an AI, I can't hold a grudge. Zap! Sorry about that. Holding a grudge. But yeah, we have the VR footage because we done fucked up. So they gotta use it. To pad time, because we done fucked up.
And then we have a bit of a...
Oh, yeah, and then we also have Metal Trash, Bulk, and Skull finding
UFOs. Well, actually, I was going to bring up the Andros-Ashley relationship starting, but...
Oh, yeah, there's that, too.
You can already see it. She's got a huge thing for him.
But, yeah, Bulk and Skull finally showing up after, what, two previous episodes of them being in the credits.
Right.
Yeah.
For some reason. And they're just now showing up with their telescope and sees the...
Well,
Dark
Skull sees a black hole, only to find out that Bulk took off the cap.
Yep.
Because Skull is that dumb. That dumb.
He said, the space between your ears is a black hole.
Yep.
Accurate. Very accurate.
Yep.
And yes, they do see the Dark Fortress.
Now, for me, these first 15 episodes, the Bulk and Skull stuff was just a waste of time.
Exactly, that's the point.
Here's
it's
the thing.
To waste time.
It sucks that it's a waste of time, though.
But there is a little bit of legitimacy to them.
Yeah.
They no longer have a job.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, they don't even act like cops anymore.
They've lost their job, and they've done a bunch of different things in their lifetime.
They did bring up about being monkeys.
Everything that they've done in their lifetime has led them to... But listen, Everything they've done in their lifetime has led them to tragedy.
Yeah.
They're always chased by monsters and getting fucked on.
They don't.
So, so what do? They decide, you know what's an easy, like, little profession thing that we can make money on? Let's, like, try astronomy. It's a dumb thing, but they're just trying anything. They're grasping at straws to avoid the life they have.
If we find a new star, we can name it and be rich.
So they're looking, they're trying this astronomy thing when they accidentally stumble on their normal luck.
They encounter the dark fucking fortress.
But they say to themselves, what if that's a UFO? And what if we can prove without a doubt it's a UFO? And then we would be rich because we'd have the first official recorded evidence, and then we don't have to fucking worry about any of this crazy shit that always happens to us.
Yeah.
We can finally get out of Angel Grove.
Yeah, and in fact,
which is like ground zero for monster attacks.
Exactly.
So they go looking for this guy that supposedly can help them sell this information and become rich.
Yeah.
Which they don't find out about him until they read the newspaper in the Sunshack.
Right, right.
But that's what they're doing, is they're looking for a way to sell the information and get rich.
And, of course, to make matters worse, up until they even made mention of, we were monkeys a little while later, you know, a little while ago, back when they're reading the paper.
Yeah.
I was about to throw it down as, this completely ties into the whole turtles destroying reality bullshit, because now all of a sudden the juice bar is a fucking pizza parlor with a fucking pool table.
Believe it or not, it could be. Changing even the smallest little thing changes everything. And the fact that Ernie's doesn't seem to have existed.
Yeah.
But,
and not to mention the fact
Angel,
that Bulk and Skull are
it's still
like
Angel
they were
Grove High School that they're
exactly. But Ernie's doesn't seem to have ever existed.
And Stone isn't there attending.
Exactly.
But
and they're not cops.
And what
they were monkeys.
Yeah,
there's still
monkeys.
Things that happened,
not
but
every...
something is different because Stone is gone. Ernie never seems to have existed, and that spot is completely different.
And they don't even act like they're fucking cops anymore.
Nobody even mentions it. There's never a mention that Ernie's was ever there. They didn't even come in and be like, "Is this a new place? Isn't this where Ernie's used to be?" Be like, actually, they shut it down. Stone moved to California. Would have been a simple drop line.
Yeah.
They didn't give it. Why? Because after Ernie went away, wherever Ernie went, Stone may not have taken that job.
Yeah.
Stone couldn't have moved to California.
Stone.
I'm just saying.
But Stone could have technically stayed a cop, and Bulk and Skull could have never become fucking cops. So Stone could be chief
because
of police
it's never
right
mentioned
now.
One time.
But
that were,
still doesn't. Yeah. But that still
or
would not. But it still would not discount the possibility that they had become monkeys because they're always getting fucked on.
Because believe it or not, like Bill said, when you change the past, not everything changes, but there are slight. It could just be the slightest change.
So could we just ignore the Alien Rangers?
Please do. I don't like
they still exist.
Yeah,
because they show back up in the
But Forever this is just a small thing.
Well, not only that, but at the same time, without the Alien Rangers, then we have no theories of Billy being anything worth a fuck.
But
so.
this right here,
sadly,
it's
they
a,
still have to exist.
This small little thing could very well play into the fact that something has changed in the history of the world.
Yeah,
and Stone, instead of taking over that business, he may have stayed a cop, and Bulk and Skull may have, after that mistake that happened that got everybody fired, maybe it got them fired, and that is it. And then if Stone remains a cop, guess what? Stone never takes over that Ernie's, and when Ernie leaves, for whatever reason he left, I know the original actor died, but in the actual continuity that we're talking about, that dude left, and he left the business to Stone. Well, this time there was nobody there.
So they just shut it
or
down?
Maybe
and
that
the
woman
fucking
was there.
Adele?
Maybe it was given to Adele.
Don't you mean the fucking the head nurse from Scrubs? That's literally, every time I see her, I don't even call her Adele. It's, right, it's the nurse from Scrubs. Just fucking move on.
I only watched a little bit of Scrubs.
But it's very possible that when Ernie left, he left it to her. Because it also looks like this business is not new. It looks like it's been there.
It kind of has remnants of the Juice Shack.
Yeah, there's some stuff that looks similar.
When they walk in, I'm like, okay, they're at the Juice Shack. Even though it's not, I can still feel it. Like, the atmosphere is still there.
Right.
Well, I mean, this building down here used to be a Pizza Hut. Now it's Taco Shack.
Yeah.
I can still see it every time I look at it. I'm like, that's where I used to eat pizza.
Yeah.
So this is the same
building. That's
where
I went and I had Pizza Hut one night and then got into a fist fight.
It's the same building, but something in the history is different because this lady is there and nobody from this group
knows her.
No, nobody from this group seems to know anything about Ernie. Nobody mentions the juice bar.
Yeah.
Right. But they're you can say they're in the same place.
Yeah.
It's still in the Grove.
Yeah, because my entire note is okay, blah blah blah. Okay, there it is.
Even juice though bar, when I saw the, bar, when I saw the surf spot, I'm like, there are they even still in Angel Grove?
Yes, they're in Angel Grove. They even go to the same damn high school. We see it.
Yeah,
there's an episode where they're walking through the hallway,
and they're in the hallway that we know.
One episode starts with the Angel Grove High School,
which means
because the high school would not have changed much because it's still a school funded by the government, built by government fucking contracts. Meaning, Tatsu School of Construction wouldn't have done it. It would have been some fucking government contractor.
No, you fucked up. I wanted it to be Tatsu.
But if it would have been Tatsu,
it still
would be a little different.
It still would have been built to the specifications that the state laid down.
True. No. So and Tatsu, it still would have been named after the fucking city that
Tatsu,
they're in.
But Tatsu Constructional Industries probably did build the school.
Right.
That makes me feel better.
Along with the other buildings that we see get destroyed throughout these 15 episodes.
Exactly.
Or at least, what? No. Depends on how old the school is.
Yeah.
They never, ever go into debt.
They never specify. The school could be 120 years old.
Yeah, we have
right,
no clue.
Exactly.
So this thing could have been built years ago.
But anyway, so they get to the surf shack. And
Andros shows off some of his telekinesis
because
power.
Because Bulk is kind of being a little insuffering right now. He's being a dick.
Right.
Because he's Skull forgot his wallet and he's not sharing his food.
Right.
No. Once again, this is a character flaw on Andros. I'm sorry. It is. You took this part as a joke, and you're meant to look at this situation in the way you did. Bulk's being an asshole.
Yep.
Deserved it. Now I want to ask you a question. This one's important. When that motherfucker, your friend, tags behind you every motherfucking day, and you go up and you order the Monster Burger combo, and without asking, he just shoves his arm in there and orders the next thing on the menu off your paycheck every fucking time. And this happens week after week after week of, we should get pizza. I got a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
We should go to McDonald's. Who's got me? Yeah. Now, it's fine to cover your friend from time to time. This is not a stab. But it is a legitimate factor to say, we don't know how often this fucking happens.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Maybe Bulk is fucking tired of it, and for once he's going to teach Skull something. These are my fries. This is my lunch. By the way, I have to admit, their comedy is mostly drab, and I don't laugh very often.
Right.
But for some reason, this time,
was kind of
I found
funny.
This really funny when he said, this is my lunch.
This is your water.
You may drink it. Don't know why.
You may
but
drink.
That was
you
funny.
Can enjoy your water. I'm going to have
remember,
my
Bill,
fries and milkshake.
You can think that, but you also have to think of it another way as well. What if this was the one time that Skull just forgot his wallet?
Could be. But since Andros doesn't know the situation, he intervenes without any knowledge, and this is a terrible leadership
idea. It is, but I'm going to, well, I can tell you, I'm going to.
I know you want to defend him, but this is bad. This is just like in Star Trek Enterprise, the very first episode when Trip decides that those aliens are in the wrong because she keeps tormenting that child. He's the one that jumps down her throat and he says, hey, what's your fucking problem? And the person with actual knowledge of the event steps forward and pushes him back and says, you're going to cause a problem. She's weaning her child of the air. They have to reach a certain air. They have to reach a certain age and then they have to be weaned of the air. She's not suffocating or hurting that kid. This is necessary. Well, he didn't have the information. He jumped like an idiot. He was treated like an idiot. He almost caused a literal, if a human had grabbed up some mother on that space station, and stopped her from weaning her child, which could have caused real damage to her kid, we could have been looking at an interstellar incident.
Yep.
Andros does not have the information to stick his nose into this debate. And I get it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But this character trope is bad because this is a small situation. What happens when he sticks his nose into a big situation that he doesn't have the knowledge for?
No, you got to understand this. I get where you're coming from.
Oh, don't worry.
Andros doesn't like bullies. And all he sees is, my friend is hungry, but I'm not sharing my food with my friend
because
he made one little mistake.
And I get it.
And he doesn't like bullies, and we get that. He also doesn't like thieves.
Yeah,
but once again, without actual knowledge of the situation...
Yes, he is naive.
Badly.
Yes.
But his naivete is not limited to his naivete. He also is impulsive upon his naivete.
Yeah.
I'm going, like I told you.
That's a character flaw that's not good for leadership.
There is big reasons on why Andros is the way he is. It's plain because he's a child orphan
that was taken by fucking Zorn.
Yeah, he was a goddamn mullet baby. That causes fucking problems that are hard to fucking outlive.
True.
Mullet
babies. He's a goddamn mullet baby.
Mullet babies.
We will get there. So he uses his telekinesis to put hot sauce in Bulk's milkshake. Bulk drinks his milkshake. There's no brand on that hot sauce. It just says hot sauce.
It must be really fucking hardcore, or he must be really fucking... You know, here's the thing. Michelle thinks the spicy chicken is spicy, so... Maybe Bulk fits in that category.
Yeah, because I've seen the hot sauce. I'm like, dude,
it's
in a cold milkshake.
Right.
How hot is it really?
And to make it worse, again, it's in a milkshake. You know what neutralizes the acid in hot sauce?
Milk.
Base, which is milk.
Milk.
Yeah.
So, to be honest with you...
It was on the cream.
It was on the whipped cream.
Which is still a fucking base.
Yes, but yes.
So it's going to neutralize
the acid. And he took a drink out of it.
Yeah.
Like, so he didn't just lick the fucking
whipped
cream.
He's a lightweight like Michelle.
Yeah,
to be fair, Michelle has a reason to be a lightweight, regardless. Yes.
But that's still like the time I went over to Shane's when fucking Amanda came back with the hot sauce. She's like, oh yeah, Shane can't have this. He fucking cries. Here, you have some. I was like, okay. I take the hot sauce and it's burning my tongue out of my skull and I'm like, eh. Because I'm used to spicy bullshit. So he is super fucking lightweight if he's drinking it with milk.
Yeah.
And you know how I killed the heat? Water. You know what you're not supposed to kill heat from a hot sauce with?
Beer.
Water.
I've done that too.
Here we go. After all that plays out, we go get equipment
and they find out they're being followed.
Yes.
And you know what's great?
The dumbest thing.
You know what's
I
great?
Saw.
This is like, what, the third or fourth time within like the last year or so where, hey, we need equipment to fix our intergalactic space travel bullshit. Radio Shack.
Radio Shack?
Radio Shack has everything for your interstellar needs. Too bad it went out of motherfucking business.
Yeah, I noticed that too because when he came out of the store, I'm like, what'd you go to, Radio Shack?
Yes.
This Radio Shack is. Sell everything.
Well, no,
you need.
I don't know what they were getting because they were not getting the supplies. Nisada was resupplying
them. Yeah, they were.
That's
and
true.
here's another thing too. This is interesting because it goes into when you have a competent villain, you have to have competent heroes because we have to rise to meet them. She knew that they need the fucking head of the Megazord
because
she'd already seen the motherfucker once and she wasn't going to see it again. So she said, "It's on that planet. Blow it the fuck up." Blow it the fuck up so there's no goddamn Megazord.
Yeah, without the head of the Megazord, you just got a
flailing
body.
So what do they decide? Instead of keeping, and I know this, I think this, there's nearly not much else to mention in this episode except for they
Ecliptor
fight
shows
some,
up.
Ecliptor.
The digital guy. Yeah.
Okay,
digital
we'll,
guy.
We'll talk about that here in a second.
With his cape.
One of the things they decide to do is they take that ship and from now on, they will not be parking it on the planet because it's too vulnerable.
Right.
From this moment on, she made a move. They have to make a counter move. That counter move is we're staying the fuck up here.
But of course,
Nasdaq is now nuked.
But of course, that's after while they're carrying Radio Shack supplies. They go, "Fuck, quick, we got to go. Why? We're being followed by who?" And they turn around to an empty seat full of putties.
Yes, I hated that part where they run behind the building and And then fucking Andros looks over, and they're just standing there watching him. Like, yeah. So what was the need to go
Was the need to turn around this corner and try to fucking hide?
You're not hiding.
We don't know what happened.
Because they weren't behind you. They were to the side of you.
But we don't know what just happened there. His equipment could very well be faulty. We already know that he needs fucking diagrams and cheat sheets.
Right.
But anyway.
There was probably some equipment that he did need that he couldn't find so far.
They fight in
the
middle.
No, we mean the fact that he knew he was being followed and then, yeah.
So they fight in the middle of Angel Grove.
The fact of we're being followed
an empty road.
And we need to run away. And then there's an empty road in Angel Grove full of putties.
But that's like me fighting a bunch of putties in New York.
Right.
Empty road in New York. No such thing.
But then they fight these Quantrons and they beat their ass once again in standard human form.
Yes.
Yep.
Everybody knows
the humans.
They get augmented.
The fucking people that become Power Rangers, their human sides are augmented. They are augmented superhumans.
Just because their own continuity fucks up and Rocky breaks his back, even though he can't break his back falling out of a ring when he falls out of a Megazord.
Right.
Yeah. Because they demorph sometimes mid-fall, and he lands on his back and he gets back up from a Megazord. But I fall out of a fucking 5-foot-high ring, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. Back broken, done. Give my morph to that kid.
Yeah.
No, that's bad continuity.
So now what else is going on in this episode?
Let's see. Introduction to the Digital Big Bad. Oh, this is where it is. By the way,
hold on.
And then,
no, hold on. Yeah. This is important. Once again, fucking character flaw. When Ecliptor showed up, what happened?
He had a cape on.
What happened?
Besides that, I want to say they started to fight.
And nobody's noticing this. When Ecliptor showed up, he stood in front of the Rangers, and the very first guy to jump without any instruction to his team was Andros.
Oh, yeah, that's
Andros
right.
Andros knows Ecliptor.
He knows Ecliptor. Mm. These guys don't. He didn't explain the situation. He didn't say a goddamn word. He said, that's Ecliptor. Spiral Saber, and just jumped in and got his ass whooped.
Yeah, because he fucking went down.
Oh, it's one of those cases of breaking the sword.
And Ecliptor took that hit, and he was like, go away.
Yep.
And the other Rangers were unprepared for the situation because they were given no leadership whatsoever and no warning whatsoever other than, I'm going to do this. You guys stand back.
Yep.
I'll get to that.
And then he didn't bother to warn them until all of a sudden he was like, oh, the shadow thing. What shadow? Overgird.
Yep.
And so, you know how the fights go. They win and episode ends.
The episode ends.
By the way, this is important. They like killed Ecliptor.
Yeah, they had their first real Megazord battle. Not just against a spaceship, but against an actual giant creature thing.
Yep.
Yep.
And they kill his ass.
Ecliptor shattered.
Yep.
Not exploded, shattered.
But then they tried to play it off like, oh, he can make Ecliptor clones and do crazy shit, which they never fucking do again.
But here's the thing.
Dragon Ball Z syndrome.
But here's the thing. In order to believe that, what was Ecliptor's actual purpose there? Gather intel on the actual strength of the enemy.
Yep.
He was not there to win that fight to begin with. So, the fact that the Megazord won was nothing more than testing the water and saying, all right, this is pretty much what we're up against.
Did they give you a challenge?
No, not really.
So, Andros and Ashley are at a pool table, and Andros is like, I've never played a pool before.
Oh, yeah, no, then for their, quote, relationship bullshit, it's, you teach me telekinesis and I'll teach you how to play pool.
Which is fine, because he doesn't know a goddamn thing about anything Earth.
So learning pool, and she wanted to learn telekinesis.
So,
I mean, is it a fair trade? Absolutely.
Now, back
not.
At the Dark Fortress, we have Estrella with a change of hair, color, and style.
She does that all the time.
Every two fucking episodes, the hair changes.
And she goes walking over to a tortoise saying, I have an idea. Fires the satellite lasers into New York City.
In the
to which case,
now that we have a forced dumbass as one of the henchmen.
He's like, New York City!
And all I could think of is the stupid fucking salsa commercials. Yeah. And I'm like, now, you son of a bitch.
But why was Rygor sent? Because Rygor just succeeded, let's put this in quotations, he just succeeded in defeating the Power Rangers, and Astronema has already fucked up once. So what'd they do? They sent her a general who already has first-hand experience with these exact people.
Yep. Is he incompetent? Most definitely.
Oh, very much so.
But he was with the big baddie that the one.
Yep, because
so
he won.
So he gets credited as a win.
Yep.
Now, when the laser gets shot down onto the sewer lid, it's like, this looks like the opening of the Turtles.
And
the actual Turtles.
What? And then the fucking Turtles come out.
They get teleported or beamed out somehow.
They do their stupid talking.
They're weird voice actors.
Yeah, by the way, because we'll just jump this into the next episode as well. They changed the fucking voice actors for the Turtles for this.
So basically the episode ends with the Turtles coming out of the sewer.
The Turtles being summoned from the sewers.
So that was episode 3. Episode 5. Is where
we're not
talking about 4.
There's a reason we
have
to.
We have to.
Episode 4, Shell Shock.
Yep. Which we have to on for a very specific fucking reason. And don't worry, you
actually,
can sit out.
Actually, I'm going to bring a few reasons up, too, that might tie in with this.
First things first, Venus has already heard of Astronema.
How, though?
Exactly.
I remember that. It's like, how does...
I'm going to bring up one thing. When Astronema comes down, and I said that, too, because Amanda was actually watching this episode with me. It was, like, the only one she watched. I don't know why. But and she was like, Astronema, and I sat there, I'm like, how do you know? Not only that, but I'm getting this. When she says, I need you guys to help destroy the Power Rangers, Raph says, Power Rangers? That's a myth.
It's like
they brought them
comic
in their own show.
Not even
why.
And then,
here's why. One, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live in the sewer. Mm-hmm. There's a reason this is important. Their only access to the outside world is television.
Yep.
But they said Power Rangers are a pretend.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
Because in their experience and what they have dealt with and what they have seen, when they see a news report, that looks like propaganda.
Yep.
And they don't have any way to confirm or deny it because they live in a sewer.
Yep.
They're disconnected from the outside world heavily. The only association with the outside world that they have is what little TV they watch and the things they find. And the things they find are years old.
Yep.
Not like 2 years old.
Now, see, here's where I have an issue.
And to make matters worse, if you're doing news reports on the fucking Power Rangers, you're in California hearing about the Power Rangers. We live in Illinois. When you hear shit about sports and stuff like that, who do you hear about other than the big teams? You hear about the local guys. You hear about the Cubs. You hear about the Bears. You hear about the Blackhawks. Nobody gives two fucks about, like, fucking St. Louis Blues around here, or the fucking L.A. Kings, or fucking Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes. Now, I will say the Rangers should be big news.
Yeah.
But this is the way the news works. They were probably big news for the first month that it was happening.
Yep.
Then areas that weren't dealing with the monster invasions stopped reporting.
See, I question where this takes place along the next mutation line. Because with them saying that Power Rangers are just pretend, and yet in, what, the 7th or 6th episode of their series, they name-dropped Power Rangers along with Cops. Cops aren't pretend.
It's true.
They probably already met them.
So does this take place just after the pilot of the Turtles?
It could very well.
This
could
have taken place of episodes into.
We don't know, but
that's the thing. We don't know.
That could be a high possibility. Let's say both the shows.
Hold my beer.
In fact,
because Venus was already on the team, we know
the shows both the shows were playing at the same time.
So we know this does act. We know for a fact that this will take place after their pilot because Venus is on the team. That's
this
all
could,
we really
this
know.
This could very well
okay,
be
just
see.
After the pilot.
This
Hold
could
on.
Be right after the pilot.
Shane, remember, first episode of fucking Next Mutation is September the 12th of 1997.
September the 12th, 97.
Okay, now then we need... Okay.
Power Rangers Space is 98. I can tell you that right now.
Power Rangers in space.
First aired.
Let's see. First aired. Hold on. It's being a fucking pain in my ass. No, I don't need the goddamn end of the fucking show. I need the beginning of the show, you son of a bitch. It ran from 98 to 99,
which means it aired in 98. Hold on.
Give me all the fucking episodes, you son of a bitch, if you're not going to fucking be kind and just be like, oh yeah, first aired, like you did with fucking, well, there's a reason why you guys did that with Shitty Turtles, fair enough. Let me see here, that's episode 16, 12, 10, 3, 2, 1. First one was November the 23rd of, somebody put that down wrong, they put it down as 2002. So, I'm going to say November the 23rd of 97. So, November 23rd of 97 is 1-1 Out of Nowhere. So Shell Shocked was February the 27th of 98.
Which very well means this is right after their pilot.
Yes.
Because they were hoping, Saban had a new show. They wanted ratings. They wanted guaranteed ratings. And they already had Power Rangers, was already a big thing. And they knew they were ending Power Rangers. Probably in Saban's mind, Turtles were going to take its place.
Yep.
They were wrong.
Most definitely wrong.
The Turtle universe itself, like in the comics and even in the Archie comics, is massive.
Well, but I'm just saying.
But tying into it with like a TV show like this could have led off into multiple things.
But their actual, this goes into being a business again.
Yeah.
Rangers was canceled. That's the reason they get away with a lot of stuff they get away with in space, because they were already told when space went into production, this is it, you're canceled.
Yep.
It's over. And do what you're going to do, close the series, it's fucking done.
Okay,
and
so
when they said that,
February of 98 for Turtles, that would have either been somewhere around episode 20, 21, or 22. In which case, 22 is a four-part fucking episode.
But that doesn't mean that's where it falls in the timeline.
Yeah, exactly.
So timeline, it could have been just after
this
the pilot.
This is more than likely right after the pilot, or a couple episodes.
Yeah. Right.
Would have solved any problem that they just wouldn't have said anything. And just said, oh, the Power Rangers? You want us to fight the Power Rangers?
Well, the reason, but I still believe propaganda is a funny thing, and news is a funny thing, too, because there is major tragedy happening all over the world. I mean, you know there's riots happening in cities.
Yeah.
But do they tell you?
No.
You never hear about it on your news.
Yep. Not always.
You only hear it if it's nearby.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And
if
Angel
it's
Grove
nearby
is in California. Angel Grove is in California,
which is across the country from
it's
New York.
It's on the other
3,000 miles away.
Coast.
Yeah.
3,000 miles away.
No.
Yeah, it's on the other coast.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even get the same channels.
No, we really don't.
So there's no telling what was going on here that allowed the Turtles to say, that's propaganda.
Right.
Or Donatello simply said, guys, come the fuck on.
Right.
I don't believe in it. You shouldn't.
And especially not to mention
a gimmick.
The fact.
It's a gimmick to sell comic books. And, by the way, because we already know that the Rangers were being promoted in that way, there are Power Ranger toys in the Power Ranger universe, including comic books.
Yep.
And they were also showing up on television talk shows and shit like that, looking like a propaganda machine.
Yep.
So it's very easy to push these guys into comic book heroes, even though they're a real thing happening in the world that we should be paying attention to.
Although we are going to get to something else that doesn't make any sense.
I've already got something else that doesn't make any sense, because the first notes are, Venus has heard of astronomer, Mikey wants to kick ass first.
That's explained.
Right.
No, it is explainable. Venus knows astronomer. Real simple. Good guys, bad, evil, yada yada,
right.
Good and bad.
No, I'm
she can
that.
Spirit
I'm,
walk.
Okay. Right, and I'm getting that. What I'm saying is, my notes are, Venus has heard of astronomy,
okay,
we already covered that.
No, I'm just saying.
Then the next is, Mikey wants to be the first in line to kick some fucking ass, instead of fucking Raphael.
Okay.
And then he gets punked back, and then that's when Raph walks up, fucking Power Rangers are kid shit.
Right, but that's not completely off base here, because Mikey has jumped the gun a couple times.
True. Then we get to Evil Mind Control Ray,
which they should have already
dealt with.
No resistance at all from Venus.
Right.
She's old.
There wasn't, but putting Venus on the same level as Astronema with whatever that staff is. Astronema seems like that staff could literally be very broken.
I did the same thing you did, Scott, when I saw her get mind controlled. The other four, I could see him getting mind controlled fairly easy.
Yeah.
Venus? I thought maybe she would have put up a little fight because Spirit Walk.
I hope she's
a mystic ninja.
Yeah.
Exactly. I hope so.
That, and at the same time of, again, we've already seen it, where Dragon Lord goes, give me a staff to fuck with Chi. This bitch has a staff that fucks with magic. You've already dealt with magical staffs before.
But not like that.
True.
Only thing I can think of is, like Bill said, we don't know how powerful that staff is. It was given to her by Dark Spectre.
Everybody that has stared her down, nobody has walked through that staff.
Right.
Nobody. No matter how strong the enemy, no matter how powerful the ranger, she points it and people go down.
God damn it. I just read my next note and realized how badly I fucked up.
So that staff, whatever Astronema's actual power in her grip is probably way more significant than what Venus can produce.
Do you see how dumb I was? Because I wasn't thinking.
One of Seth's notes is turtles warp to save the turtles.
Because that literally, like, as soon as shit was going down, I wasn't even writing notes. I'm just fucking like I started to write something, and then I'm watching the interaction being like, let me get to something that's absolutely dumb, and then I'll pause it.
Let me read the right way that I put it. The turtles somehow teleported into attack that was going to the Power Rangers.
Astronema teleports them onto the battlefield of a monster that was duped. There's a dumb fucking monster that was told by Astronema, hey, you gotta take out them Rangers.
You're nothing, basically you're nothing but cannon fodder.
And that's exactly what it was.
I need you to play a part.
Right.
But he didn't know. He was the new big bad general.
Right. The turtles came in, helped the Power Rangers, because it's all part of Astronema's plan to get them close to the Rangers. It's brilliant.
And the turtles played with the monster's attack
before
it destroyed the monster.
But they were augmented by magic at the time.
Now, let me...
don't know the extent of mutation.
Right, true.
We don't study
very
mutation.
Obviously a monster who we've theorized was left behind from the original Rita Empire. A monster wants them because he sees it as a more powerful variant of the magic that created him.
Yes,
right.
And like I said, none of us study, you know, biology or anything.
Right.
We don't know this stuff, but the ooze, the mutation, it augmented those turtles to ridiculous proportions. Obviously,
now,
they're 5 foot tall talking turtles.
Now, let me read my next note in its entirety so in future Scott has something fun to look forward to.
Did you misspell anything?
No. So, the Rangers know who the turtles are, meaning that they cruise the streets often enough to be known about as fact and not legend.
Only one person knew them.
Ashley was the only one that knew them.
No, exactly.
TJ did.
But the turtles are known
TJ
as fact and
not
as a legend told by people who are written off as insane, like people who believe in UFOs, astral projection, mental telepathy, ESP, clairvoyance, spirit photography, telekinetic movement, full trance mediums, the Loch Ness Monster, and the theory of Atlantis.
If there's a steady paycheck in it, I'll believe whatever you say.
By the way, you lied to me. And I don't like when you lie to me, Seth.
What?
You misspelled Cruz.
No, I didn't misspell it. I used the wrong spelling of the word cruise.
Okay. Here's the thing. She somehow knew what they were.
Yes.
Maybe she's from New York.
Cassie could have been, like, raised in New York.
I mean, do we really know where she came from?
You know what? I'll buy it. She's probably from... Okay, obviously, none of them are from Angel Grove.
Because Cassie came into Angel Grove.
She did. Cassie came in.
Her episode one, she was on a bus coming into the
her
city.
Her and TJ both were.
Yes,
so.
Neither one of them are. Those two are not from Angel Grove.
So maybe they're from somewhere close enough that the rumors have spread.
About four.
Mutant turtles.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You say he's a bad leader. Andros knew something was off. Something bothered him.
No. He did not. The only reason he didn't trust him is because he's a fucking loner.
That's why.
Just like he didn't trust his new
this
team.
This wasn't just about him seeing something the others didn't see. He doesn't trust them.
Yeah.
Proof of the fact is that later on he'll be going down to planets by himself because he doesn't care to tell them a goddamn thing about what's really going on.
Yep.
He doesn't trust his own team, let alone five fucking mutant freaks that showed up out of nowhere.
Yep.
He said he has a bad feeling about it.
He doesn't trust anyone.
But
even his own team.
But this time he was right.
He was, but he doesn't even trust his own team. This is not him being a good leader. This is him being a dick.
You misunderstand. I'm not calling Andros he's the greatest leader of Power Rangers history. But he has a
Was he right? Yes.
Yeah.
He has a legitimate reason for why he's not the greatest leader.
Okay.
Right.
Now, for some reason, the Power Rangers are like, let's give you a lift to New York City and tell you all about this ship and all the info about it.
Well, before... Because
kids. Kids looking to show off their fun, cool stuff that another group of kids doesn't have. Doesn't have, quote unquote.
This is fan service, that really does.
It happens all the time in real life. People come up to this fucking room, this literal room. People come up to this room and shit their pants over the shit that's in this room.
Right, which
and
is all
ask
shit
me
that
for
we've
stories
seen
about
a million
it.
Times.
To be honest with you, the only thing I shit my pants about is I want your helmet and your sword.
Right, fair enough.
And your dagger and your other sword.
But yeah, no, everybody remembers being in high school, correct? All four of us sitting here, you remember being in high school?
Do you
remember when your friend got his first car in high school?
No.
Dude, man, check it out.
No.
Look at my new car.
Because I was the first friend of my group to get a car.
Right. And you were quick to show it off and talk about what kind of engine or anything you knew about it.
Check out my brand new car. Look at this car. Blah, blah, this.
He deserved me to gloat.
No, it's not even about gloating. Yeah. It's a thing that kids do.
I know.
These are teenage kids.
So,
I'm 30 years old and I still do it.
But I'm just saying, these are teenage kids showing off their cool shit.
So me getting my first car finally.
Right.
I should have been out there gloating and stuff.
But you're not, you're not 18.
But you're not,
you're
look,
not a teenager
dude,
anymore.
These
yeah.
guys are still in high school. They're 17 years old at the oldest, showing off their cool stuff to other teenagers. This is a thing kids do.
In fact, kids
do it more than they've ever done it before because they could show off instantly through Twitter and Instagram.
Right.
So now
look at my dick.
Yeah. That's like when I bought my Switch. I fucking came home and laid it out on my bed and I said,
yeah, I did that.
New post to Facebook. Look what I just bought.
Fucking, yeah, I'm that. On Twitter. Yeah. New dick haircut, people.
Please don't put your dick on Twitter. Delete.
But it's true.
Twitter's probably the one place he'd be able to put his dick.
They
and nobody's going to say anything.
These younger, like, younger people show off every motherfucking thing they have now.
I get it, and I understand. I was like that, too.
Right.
So yes.
So this is not strange.
I didn't actually question that.
Right.
I question why I'm watching this episode because these turtles are dumb.
Well, the reason why you're watching this is because the Rangers, they gotta go on a stealth mission and they sneak about as well as I did my first time playing Metal Gear Solid.
So one of the turtles, well, technically most of the turtles, decide to go into Deca and cut some wires. Cut wires, and that somehow becomes a changed Deca, who's certified.
Do you realize that?
Why'd you have to say that?
You know you
because they had to say it for some reason.
Dude, I heard it once,
and at least
I lost some brain cells.
And at least it was just the computer that said it, not the turtle.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
I have to listen to that enough.
Donatello techno bullshit is the only explanation I have.
Obviously, Donnie was the one messing with Deca because he's the only one that knows tech. Yeah.
Maybe by some chance in hell that makes no sense whatsoever, he was given some sort of technical sight by the beam that shot him and corrupted him.
Yeah. Right.
Now
taking it, moving on.
Yes,
not going. I don't want you to explain it.
Now the computer gets changed, and the shields are dropped down, and Astronema shows up on the ship, and now only Astronema commands the ship.
And they have legitimately beat the Rangers. We're looking at a villain that has already won.
In episode 4.
In episode 4.
Yeah,
she won.
Doesn't win long term.
Yeah.
But this is the first major fucking I just won victory. She got all but one Ranger and was on her way back home. She'd won.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Except one little tiny detail.
Telekinesis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she knows that he has
it. I will say this was an awesome part.
Technically, that, she should.
What was that sound?
I love TJ here.
When that robot walks up, things. Dude, I loved that. When the robot walked up and they were like, what the fuck is that? And he's like, it cut this. And he just hands it to the robot. And the robot's like, wait the fuck a second.
Okay, listen. TJ has some good moments. Right. That was a funny moment.
I was fucking gagging,
he's like,
dude.
He's like, what is that? He's like, I don't know, but it cut this. There you go.
I'm free.
And the robot's like, well, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Son of a bitch.
You're free. I'm going to get my ass kicked. I'm not a smart robot.
So, right. So they take the space shuttle into... They're pulling from Star Trek here.
Very much.
So by going into this clouded area.
A space phenomenon
dude, somehow screws up her magic spell.
Dude, you expect a turtle... To explain.
That was funny. Oh. I'm sorry.
A cosmic event.
Yeah. That was a good one, too.
Yeah, that was the only good one. Yeah.
Only good line that came
you
out.
You expect a turtle like, from that? The sewers to explain a cosmic event.
Yeah. Dude, I thought that was funny, too.
So what you're saying, Scott, what you're saying is it was a cosmic space do-do-do-do-do phenomena. Do-do-do-do phenomena. Fucking Bill just...
All I know is that these turtles, when they open their mouths, I get dumber.
Not in this episode.
This episode wasn't as bad as their actual show because the Rangers were there to balance it out. But that was the funniest thing I heard these stupid-ass turtles say.
Even at this point, the turtles did not fully give away the fact that they were, you know...
Back to normal.
Right.
Until they were ready to spring it on her that... They'd screwed her. And look, here's what I love. Once again, competent villain. What did she come here to do? Destroy Rangers. What do Rangers have? We've been over this. The best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What if I just, because this is now no longer a thing, I'm just going to destroy their best stuff. My turtle idea didn't work, but I do have control of the ship. I'm not losing the ship.
Self-destruction countdown.
Self-destruct. I'm going to leave now. And then all four of you motherfuckers, or all five fucking turtles can die. The Rangers that are stuck on the ship, if they are, they could fucking die.
If they're on the planet, I'll take care of them, whatever.
Yeah.
No, I'll get you later, whatever.
At least I won.
They won't have Megazord anymore. Bye.
So she's like, blow this motherfucker up, and then goes down to the planet to kill Rangers. Because she already got rid of the one thing that stopped her before, in her opinion.
And then Donnie and them fucking figured it out.
Actually, I wanted to ask something here that I probably should have brought up. Would astronomy even bother to learn their names? The turtles' names? Because it's like...
No.
Probably not. Yeah. No.
But somehow she
does. She sees them as a tool.
Somehow she does, though.
Enough to reference them when she needs them to do something. Because they were at that point, her new monsters.
Because as far as I'm concerned...
And I did like when she yelled at Leo. It's like, you're supposed to be their leader. And I laughed. I was like, please, that's a shitty leader right there.
Because technically she would be like, blue turtle, go do this. Purple turtle, do that.
Right, but since they're her new weapons, she... Right. Yeah.
Now, only the turtles can go from celebrating having a spaceship to being terrified from it self-destructing.
Right.
In which Donatello remembers part of his technical sight.
Yeah.
After Venus gave him a back massage.
Oh, no. Oh, Venus. We'll solve it right here. Venus calms his mind and uses her own magic to counteract and reproduce the spell that gave him technical sight in the first place. He fixes the ship.
Yep.
There, we've done
it. Because this is
moving on.
Yeah, because this isn't going to be the first time that it's going to happen.
Don't stay on that plot hole.
Right.
Anytime you figure something out with the turtles, I'm going to run with it. I don't care. I literally don't care.
We just want to get through the turtles.
Right. Well, that's the next episode.
And that's because when it comes down to it, this won't be the first time that they're going to use, something causes amnesia.
Okay, so look, here...
Back on the planet, astronomer pulls out a boomerang knife.
Oh, yeah.
Pulling a Xena here.
Once again, this was competence once again. She doesn't just say, minions, go fight them, I'm going to leave now. I'll just assume it all went to plan. What? No. She stays right there, watches it, sees an opening, and she's like, I'm gonna kill him. Ka-cheek! Weird, crazy boom a knife. Wadooka-dooka-dooka-dooka. And fucking hits all of them.
Yeah. In fact, she even hits some of her own dudes, just fuck it.
Because fuck
them. I have more of them on the ship.
Yeah.
I don't really care about
she don't give a fuck.
She doesn't care about
any of
them.
I'm here to accomplish my situation.
She's one of the first rising in the ranks.
Yeah, she's one of the first, you know, villains who's, I don't know, maybe seen a Bond movie. You don't just fucking walk away and hope that it all goes according to plan.
So the turtles show up, hand Andros his weapon saying, the green machine has come clean!
And then because we live in a Power Rangers Star Wars-esque universe, we live in a Power Rangers Star Wars-esque universe, now that the turtles are not bad guys, they have to be good guys, because there's only two extremes in this universe, so guess what? Now, Andros trusts them.
Yep.
Because they were bad guys, but since they're not, they can't be anything but good guys.
And now they start teaming up against these...
Yep.
Yep.
And they win, moving, and then...
And
the team-up of the Power Rangers and Turtles is something that would be a fantasy thing that we'd love to
see. Believe it or not, it wasn't bad when that fight happened. That fight was not bad.
So, but, you know, they win, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then...
Turtles...
Actually, hold on, because I'm going to say that was one of the best fights Turtles have had so far.
It is.
It's
not even in their own show.
So
then the turtles ride on the stupid ass fucking boogie boards
in space, which is their first cowabunga.
The whole time I'm sitting there like, please.
Superman 4.
Please suffocate. Yep. Please
Superman
suffocate.
4.
Please die.
Superman
please
4.
Freeze in the cold.
Everybody needs to go watch the awfulness that Superman 4 and understand that space can't hurt you.
Listen, yeah.
Because of what happened to Lois Lane, I seen that shit movie. I ain't going back to that shit movie.
Space can't hurt you, Shane.
Space has to hurt
you. Space can't hurt you, Shane.
It's supposed to, but it's not fucking gonna.
Just because Lois Lane survived does not mean that every human can survive space.
What the fuck?
That's true.
Space can't hurt you, Shane. What's our next episode? Space can't hurt you.
I want to ask something here.
Episode 5.
We're going to ask something
now,
here.
Now, here in America, I'm guessing this is like one of the only times when we have like somebody from another episode cross over. Well, no, there was a Kamen Rider, but he didn't have a show then.
He's cheap ass cases.
Man.
So, was there...
Could be my fault.
In Japan, they didn't have anything like the turtles over there, did they? They didn't have turtles.
Yes, they did.
They did have turtles in Japan.
That episode did not go to their series.
Okay.
But yes, they do have turtles, and their turtles are bizarre.
Yep.
Like turtle costumes,
it's
turtles.
Japan. Everything's bizarre. To us, at least.
Because I know that there was a cartoon series that they had, but...
Yes, they have turtles, but I don't know about live-action stuff.
So, anyway, so moving on. Episode 5,
Never Stop Searching.
Hold on.
One reason why Andros is the way he is.
Hold on.
Because he was a mullet baby.
Cue Star Trek music.
Yeah, I was about to say, we have to start with Space, the final frontier. Wrong show. Narrative facepalms.
Lead character story development. His sister, Crone.
Yeah, baby Andros and baby Astronema. I mean, Crone.
One reason Andros is the way he is.
Because he's a mullet baby.
Mullet baby.
Mullet babies. He'll lose his sister. Gone.
D. He's got PTSD.
Anyway.
Even if they never show it.
He was playing with that ball.
Right. Look, Shane.
Mullet babies.
Don't you leave this room. Don't fucking bitch boy.
Okay, so there's a life force detected at KO-35. Andros goes there. And
meanwhile, back at home, Bulk and Skull are filling time by going alien hunting.
He straight up left the room.
Now, KO-35, like we mentioned before, doesn't seem as devastated as they let on.
Plague.
Yeah, it's a plague.
Plague is what basically took them out, and then they abandoned the planet.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
so plague wouldn't have hurt any of the buildings.
But when they're above KO-35, it looks like Aquitar.
Eh.
Is it supposed to look
like
Aquitar?
They could have used the same graphic. I mean,
yeah,
when it comes down to it, to save money, they do a lot of shit. Now, don't get me wrong. From what I've seen so far of this series, whereas all the others have been like 50% our shit, 50% Sentai footage,
because we had fucked up on the Sentai.
Ours is
footage.
More like 20% of the Japanese footage.
It depends on like what episodes and where you're at in the season. Usually it ends up going like either a 50-50 or like a 40-60.
Depending on which
depending
episode.
Depending upon, yeah, what episode you're on and what they needed to do with it. So far, throughout everything I've seen in these first 15 episodes, it's looking like 75-80% of almost every single episode has been our shit, with only a tiny bit of the Sentai footage sprinkled in.
Yeah. But Andros goes to KO-35, runs into a Clipter who's somehow still alive.
Get up here and defend this mullet baby.
And Bill's fucking calling Shane out.
And, what?
And it just popped up on the fucking group
and,
chat.
While Andros...
Oh, he's not going to look at his fucking phone. Oh, fuck.
Carlos saw the footage of a baby, of mullet
Who
babies.
Who was filming that shit?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A drone. Moving on.
But apparently...
They're advanced, right? Advanced society.
KO-35 does seem to be a little bit more advanced than Earth.
There was a drone thing that was filming
right.
it. That way we don't have to worry. No.
But, no,
because that means their parents just watch some guy, fucking spooky monster, just take their daughter.
But yeah. does
spooky monster comes and takes your kid? How do you fight it?
Any way I can.
Yeah.
Even if it fucking just annihilates. Yeah,
I can.
Does Carlos know all this info about KO-35? That is it from Andros telling him, or did he just look the stuff up while on the spaceship about KO-35?
Well, I thought he was there.
No, it's while he's having breakfast with the rest of the
Oh,
Earth
the fact
group.
That there's a living life form there, he probably left some sort of markers that indicate if something comes there.
No, I mean, Carlos was explaining to our Earth
Carlos
Rangers.
Saw him watching the tape.
He saw him watching the tape. He was like, well, where the fuck is Andros?
Carlos,
oh, yeah, he was watching.
Carlos was explaining KO-35's stuff that happened there, yet Carlos wasn't...
Well, here's the thing. Carlos has been... Okay, Carlos has been on his own a lot. And he stays up later than the other guys, and he's often in the decks, like, working on things by himself. We've been seeing that throughout the course of this.
There's a chance that he found some record on Decca.
Yeah, he very much could be researching and adapting to the role that he was given.
Remember, they're trying to find Zordon. So any beacon, anything, any life form that they find.
Right, but he's just wondering how
Carlos knows about KO-35.
Carlos would know. Carlos probably knows because Carlos probably went out of his way
to learn
know.
Shit.
To learn.
Probably because a little bit that Andros told him.
Right.
Probably led him to...
There's that possibility, but at the same time, like
doesn't
I said
seem like
earlier.
Andros shared any information with anybody because the other people don't know. Which
right.
means that the fact that we've been seeing Carlos spend a lot of time by himself, like working on the gliders and shit like that, he's probably also utilizing... the library database of the computer
right.
and watching and learning things
now,
because he's living in space now.
Because, again, he should have been the Blue Ranger because he's the smartest.
Now,
but
Andros, this is why, you know, Andros is the way he is because I didn't tell, I'm your leader. You
right.
guys are my new team. I'm your leader. But I've got my own personal demons that I've had way before I even knew you existed.
Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar.
You joined my team. Now, I didn't trust you at first because I don't know you.
Right.
You show up on my ship, uninvited. I know nothing about you. Yes, I learned to trust you because you seem like good people. I'm not going to tell you everything about me. Okay? I'm not going to tell you that I have a sister who was kidnapped in front of me when I was a child. Already traumatized. Monster came out of the woods, took my sister, and ran off. Traumatized. That's some PTSD bullshit that he is dealing with. The reason he is the leader that he is, the reason why he's a lone wolf... A lot of it stems from the fact that he lost his home. He lost his sister. He lost his family. You would be the exact same way.
And his only friend and partner got fucking put on ice.
Guess what? I wouldn't be a leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be a leader.
Yeah.
It is part of the leader's responsibility to see that in himself and in the other people's, and if so needed, remove himself from the command of situations that he cannot handle.
Yep.
I guess. Yeah,
so no matter what we give to him...
You have to take points away, too.
He is... Yeah. He's fine to be the character he is. He's fine to have the past he has. He's interesting to be a Ranger in general. He is a bad, if not the worst, fucking leader we have had. Case in point, he goes down to that planet to fucking die.
Yep.
I don't care that he went there looking for his sister. He went there at night, on purpose, while nobody was awake, and formed nobody.
Okay. And then he gets his ass whooped. And then all of a sudden Carlos shows up, intended to be back
before they woke up. And had his sister been down there, he would have just shown back up with some random fucking girl.
And then explained everything.
And then explained everything.
Here's the thing.
That's not the way you do it.
I understand, but you also got one more thing to note. Ever since Zane went down, he was on his own. He didn't have to answer anybody. He didn't have to tell anybody anything.
Right.
That's a hard habit
now
to break.
Now he does.
Hard
don't
habit
care.
And let's make it even
Here's
worse.
Here's the truth. Here's the truth. This is the truth of it, Shane. If I am the leader, I am responsible for the lives of every man on my team, including my own.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And my own stupid fucking ignorance can kill people.
Yes.
Yep.
In Rangers, we like to often say good guy versus bad guy, but here's the truth of it. The bad guys want you to be dead.
Yep.
Yes.
And if I don't have the right information or the right person leading me into the battle, if I'm going in blind or if he's dumb enough to go get himself killed of his own accord, I can't follow him.
And in this episode, Carlos shows up and gets injured badly.
Yeah.
Because of Andros.
And he does realize it.
But he doesn't
he's the
fix
one.
It. And, but he doesn't
but
fix it.
Here's what makes it worse. So then Carlos is now injured. Carlos is basically laying on his fucking deathbed up in a med bay.
And Andros leaves again.
And Andros goes off on his own again.
He learned nothing.
Nothing.
Not just this episode. Next episode.
You
and
lose.
Next episode.
Good day,
and next
sir.
Episode. Every other episode, he jumps the gun, jumps in blind, doesn't inform the team, gives very little to no leadership, and constantly fucking lone wolves. He is the worst fucking leader we have had in Rangers so far.
And the only
time it gets so bad that one of the episodes, I have a note, and I'll let you know when we get to it, where literally Andros starts to go off on his own, and everybody else has a problem with it, except Carlos, who's like, fuck it. He does it all the time. I don't give a fuck anymore.
Which means he's losing his team.
Yes. Everybody else worries.
He's fine
Carlos
to
goes,
be,
whatever.
He's fine to be a cool Ranger.
Yeah.
He's cool. He fought those guys. He jumped in. He learned that thing. He had a cool introduction. His weapon's not bad. His attitude's even kind of cool. I even like his dumbass terrible highlight hair. And even as a mullet baby, he looked just fine. But realistically, he's a bad fucking leader.
Well, here's the thing.
And I would never follow him into anything.
Then here's the thing. Is it his fault that he's the leader? Did he choose the red power?
Yes.
Who gave him the morphers?
Originally.
Do you give somebody that kind of baggage leadership? That's not on him.
No.
If Billy is the
see,
one.
But let's.
He might have been trained to be a leader.
Because he's not forthcoming about anything that his past relates to. He was given leadership off the accomplishments that he's had so far without knowledge to his entire past, which is not rare because we don't have time to interview you.
Right.
I'll give you that.
So we chose him.
And
but as a good leader, here's another thing. Why is Jason one of the best leaders we've ever had in all of Power Rangers history? I'm going to tell you something, and this is weird, but this is true. He stepped down.
Yeah.
When somebody showed up that could do the job better, he didn't fucking man flex and be a bitch about it. He stepped down.
Yep.
Tommy did step down at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tommy was a good leader because he realized his time was done and he stepped down.
Yeah.
And Jason is also a good leader because Jason saw that when Tommy was brainwashed again, he didn't leave it to the second in command. He stepped up and became the Zeo leader.
Yep.
Gold stepped into that position the second that power struggle happened because he knew the people, knew the situation, and knew how to lead them to the point that he needed was to bring Jason back, was to bring Tommy back. He was the one that stepped into that position and said, I'm not really a leader, but this is what has to happen. This is what I'll make happen.
And let's step it up another notch here. Maybe Andros wasn't supposed to be the fucking leader anyway. Zane had the fucking silver power. You know what's fucking great about that bullshit? Billy.
was there for when a green guy showed up as a Sixth Ranger.
Here's another possibility.
And a white guy showed up as a Sixth Ranger.
Here's another very real
Red
possibility.
Robin the Sixth Ranger.
This is the very real possibility. We could be looking at the first... No, we could be looking... Listen, this could be a Seven Ranger team. Yeah. Billy might have been intended as the leader. The only thing Andros was supposed to be doing was gathering a team.
Yep.
And you know what? I even like that idea that, like he said, Zane, the Silver Ranger, might have been the leader.
Because usually
he
the
went
sixth
down.
Guy
but
is
he went
the more
down.
Powerful
And when he went
guy.
Down, Andros stepped up.
Yeah.
I'm not, listen, you got, also, like, I'm...
But Andros didn't step up. There was nobody else.
Andros became the
lone wolf.
Yeah.
Even if...
When he got this team, knowing that his best buddy's out of commission...
This team made an assumption...
That he was the leader.
That he was in red... And that he'd been in space for a while, and that he knew what was going on, and that they needed his leadership.
Yeah.
So even the man who should be leader right now, TJ should be the leader of this fucking team.
Yeah.
But TJ, as a good and experienced leader, knowing that they would need the benefit of somebody that knew more than him, stepped down.
Because in this situation would make sense for Andros to be the Blue Ranger, because he does know what's going on.
Technically
he knows...
Technically speaking, again, I'd shake the fucking colors up, and I'd put Carlos as blue, we'd put TJ as red, and then we'd put Andros as fucking black.
And you know what? I'm okay with that.
And
I'm
that
also,
might even
I'm,
have worked better. Yeah. Andros as black might have worked better, because he is the strength runner. He's the guy that runs in first.
And I think that, and I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm only defending him on certain cases.
Understandable.
I understand that he's not a good leader.
He's also a character that you like.
He is one of my favorite characters.
There's no reason not to like him. I keep trying to stress that. There's no reason not to like him.
Yeah,
but he should not
be
the leader.
I think he has, out of all the leaders we've had up till now, he's had obviously the most traumatic experience.
Yes.
Think about it.
Yeah.
You think about all the Rangers, whose sister got kidnapped at a young age? Who lost his home? Who lost his family?
Tommy killed people.
Yeah.
Yes.
And was a pawn. And was a pawn of the.
And he has to live with that every
evil.
Day. What he did, but what did he do? He turned it around.
Yes.
He tried to save as many people as he could to try to tip the
balance. Andros lost his whole planet.
Yes.
Yes and no.
Not everybody's dead.
That's a tragedy that is not. That is not part of the Ranger story. That's like if today a disease swept across the Earth. That wouldn't make me the tragic backstory hero that pertains to the actual events at hand.
It would affect you.
It would affect me.
If you were
but
a kid.
Then we don't know how many people are dead.
We don't
because
know.
Because he said that they abandoned it.
They did.
Yeah.
And he knows where they went because he's not concerned about them.
Yeah.
But he could have
lost. He's all finding Zordon.
Like,
that's it.
Well, no, because this is more like fucking Star Wars Episode 7. Hey, we built another fucking Death Star. We're coming up to blow up this planet. And people are like, fuck this, and dipped.
Yeah.
Now that planet's blown the fuck up.
It.
Well, fuck, I have
his
no more planet.
His entire race can be alive, minus a few people that died from the plague.
Because they had that bug plague
they had that
thing
bug
that happened.
Plague,
yeah,
that's why he knew exactly what it was.
Yeah.
When Carlos got stung, he was like...
And it's why he knew that there was an antidote.
He knew exactly what was wrong with him.
Which also, I'm sorry, bad leader, that part too.
We'll get to that when we get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yes, because that part really pissed me off.
Because right now we should be moving on to episode 6, where there's Klingons near Uranus that are shooting satellites.
No. This is one of those Star Wars episodes, because it's like Power Rangers...
We're moving on. Episode 6.
Well, there's that.
Episode 6, Satellite Search.
Yeah.
Nasada gets a hold of the Rangers and says, we have information on Dark Spectre.
No.
Nasada fucking sends out a signal because they know the Rangers' Skype number. And says, Rangers, you're our only hope to recover this satellite that got shot down.
They know the Rangers' Skype number. Yeah, that was just a request. They actually didn't know. It wasn't until the Rangers figured out that Astronema was looking for it, too, that they said, there's only one reason she'd be doing that.
Yeah.
There has to be something
there. And they send exactly like fucking Scott said, because I wrote it down, too. Help me, Power Rangers. You're my only hope.
Yes, Amanda did watch this episode with me, and she quoted that. She did it wrong, by the way.
So they go after these discs. They're on super hot planet.
Yeah, volcano planet where there's a claw crab hammer.
There's a giant kaiju, which is not a monster. I guess he's native to the planet. It's a creature that lives there.
You attack this giant crab in its weak spot.
Yes.
Yes.
Or at least you would if you weren't Alpha running the Megazord on automation.
Right.
Oh my god, that Megazord got so beat the shit out of because Alpha was in charge.
But that was never piloted. That was my first clue that the Megazord is automated.
Not to mention the fact, to make matters worse too, not only is the Megazord getting its ass whooped because fucking Alpha's on automation, but then to make it worse, fucking the only reason Alpha's even doing it is, oh fuck, they're pinned down, we have to help somehow. Fuck it, I'm the only one who's seen every single fucking Ranger so far, know all the battle data from all of the Megazords, let me do it. Ah, fuck, I just got my ass whooped.
Yeah, and then he was like, oh, this is a lot harder than I
thought. Yeah, this is harder than I thought. I can watch this all day long.
This is
I can
my watch the first NFL. Attempt.
Yeah, I can watch the NFL all day long, but as soon as I try to get into it, it's a little harder.
And when the Megazord's down, the lobster has the higher ground.
Oh, fuck, you're right, he does.
A lot of Star Wars.
So, yes, this is where we learn that I'm telling you that Megazord's like 40% automation.
Yeah, that's fine. It makes
and
sense.
The Elgor is still dumb. We learn that,
he's
too,
because
he drops the fucking discs.
No, he doesn't drop them.
Well, not only
Andros does a telekinesis.
Are we sure that's what happened? Because I thought he barely tucked them in his pocket and they fell.
Just moves them slightly.
Were they saying that? Because I know he reached out for the gun and concentrated for the gun.
He did that too.
But are you sure he did that with the discs?
Yeah, he did. He loosened them up enough that they fall out.
First of all, we need to explain, those aren't discs. Those are CDs that were on loan from Vanilla Ice from his very first album. Okay,
is that why one of them was destroyed?
Yes.
But I'm going to say that since I don't know, that's what happened.
Right.
I thought that was the whole thing, that Elgar is an idiot and doesn't pay attention.
Well,
I thought they got lucky.
That on him just walking away, not noticing the discs there.
Right, but see, the reason I didn't think it was telekinesis is because in all other instances of telekinesis, when he moves something, he doesn't drop it ever.
Since his hands were chained down, he couldn't really move his hands as much, but he could move his fingers.
But all he does is move his fingers to do telekinesis in most every scene that we've ever seen.
Yeah,
right.
And in every point, the only time he ever dropped anything was because he made that cut, and then it made a noise, and that startled him, and then he dropped it. Right. Here, he was fully concentrated if he really was moving the discs, and he dropped them.
Yeah.
When he could have just slowly made them go away over to a rock.
Right.
But he doesn't do that. They fall down. So I thought they just fell. Up for debate. Could very well be that he made them fall.
He just nudged them out enough to fall.
But then he did make the gun come to him, and that was very different kind of...
Right.
Because the telekinesis seems like it has to be very implied to me.
And to make matters worse, now after they get the gun and they get free and they get back in the Zord...
They fight dirty.
Yeah, the Rangers went to the Tracy Smothers School of fucking fighting, because not only do they kick the monster in the dick...
Numerous times.
And then headbutt him, and tear off the antennae, and then throw the motherfucker in the fire to basically become lobster bisque. So, he close-fist hit him, he pulled the hair, and he yanked the tights. So they learned from the Tracy Smothers School of fucking fighting on this.
There are no rules when it's a giant monster versus giant robot fight.
Yeah, but
it's
here's
all
what
survival.
But here's
so they
what
killed
makes
him.
It worse. They kill a monster on its native planet because it's on its native planet trying to eat.
So they kill him. She realizes Elgar's a goddamn moron. She tells him, don't fucking think you know something. Fucking figure it out. But he never gets the chance. The Rangers report to Nisada.
They recover what they could from the disc.
Yep, Nisada sends back the information and says, guys, I'm sorry. There was literally nothing on here that could help you.
Right.
Except for
and
the damaged disc.
And then come to find out that the fucking, the one Vanilla Ice disc is actually fucking melted. Yeah. And that could have been the one that had it.
Right. There was one disc that was damaged when they shot the thing.
Because
it was broken.
Right.
All right,
that's it. So we're moving on to episode 7. What's
episode 7,
Jay?
A Ranger Among Thieves.
More training.
More training, followed by filler, followed by filler.
More ignorant naivete. Yeah.
Yes, he met some guys. He didn't know they were
Andros
beads.
Fucked up.
Yeah. Let's see. Rangers who have been missing for months have to go to school because...
Yeah.
So Andros gets mixed up with thieves. Then there's Bulk and Skull time filler. Andros stops thief filler. Insert Monty Python and the Holy Grail clip here. Because that's an alien. What, the rabbit? Moving on. Let's see. And then Andros stops the villain. Realizes that his, quote, new friends are thieves, but still saves
Once again,
them.
By the way...
No.
When it became ridiculously obvious that there was a literal fucking monster,
right.
He attacked it by himself and then did nothing but call Alpha and say, that was like a monster.
Keep an eye on
it. Maybe keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
And then continued to fight it by himself without ever calling for the assistance that his team could have offered.
Until he's getting his ass whooped, which magically happened.
He still did not call them.
Yeah, which
but
happens
they do show
to
up.
Call at about 3 o'clock
they show
when
up.
Getting off school.
They show up for the same reason that they used to show up back in Mighty Morphin, because there was somebody else watching Andros Dick.
Yep.
Alpha probably said, kind of getting that dick kicked in, and they were like, where the fuck is he? Because he never said a goddamn word. Oh, dick kicked in is happening in the... fucking place with a bunch of cars for no reason.
It's happening,
oh, okay.
In the it's happening over near
the
shop.
They were in
the
middle of a
shop.
Test. He didn't want to interrupt them. Nuff said.
Fair enough.
No. Yeah, they were in school and doing some tests.
There you go. Nuff said.
That's it. That's what they were.
All the times we've made beep, beep, beat it, beep, beeps when we're in school.
Right.
And when we've just been able to leave computer class because.
Yeah.
Rocky,
where are you going? My wristwatch went off. I got to go.
TJ, you can't just leave class. Oh, sorry, big dick. Gotta go. What? What the fuck does that mean? Got one. Gotta go.
Trini, why are you leaving? I gotta go to the bathroom. Okay.
Sorry,
yeah, I gotta go too.
Sorry, sex change. Gotta go.
So this episode just...
Tiger sword!
Tiger sword! Grow a penis!
So this episode does have the first combination of their weapons.
Oh, yeah, shit. They had Astro Blaster.
Which I was unimpressed with, but it was at least creative.
Yeah. Right.
They beat the monster.
Oh, and the first case of the Make My Monster Grow in this series.
Right. Yeah, shoot green laser. Yep.
Make the monster grow. They beat the monster like they always do. Fucking the one kid who's trying to hotwire a car gets arrested. The other two know what they did wrong. Get a job.
Yeah, get a job.
Let me ask you that. I still
you
work for
you
a business. I stole your property, but I realized it was bad. So I bring back your vehicle, your delivery truck. Like, sorry,
okay,
Bill.
Here's the thing.
You're gonna give me a job.
Here's the thing. Okay, I don't think I'm giving you a job out of the goodness of my heart.
I'm giving you a job to pay me the fuck back.
I believe that you need to work for me for free for a while, learn a couple lessons. Now, why would I not turn you in? Here's the thing. I could see where she was going with that. She could have ruined their lives. They are literally kids. They have their entire life ahead of them, and a felony like Grand Theft Auto is not something they want trailing them.
Right.
And
the kid who was still carjacking,
Yes. Now, here's the thing. I got my van back. No harm done. Am I still pissed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Am I looking to ruin your life when I feel like there's a legitimate possibility that you may turn it around?
No.
If I can be a small part of that, and maybe you can learn something, I'm going to try to do something decent here.
I'll do
but
my
don't
best.
Think for a moment that I won't remember that you fucked me.
Right. Yeah, you can work for me, you can sit in the back, you can fucking, you know. Now, don't get me wrong, she jumps way the fuck ahead and says, you know what, you brought me back the van, you stole it, take the keys, keep them, you get to run deliveries, and I get your fucking tips.
Wouldn't be the same situation.
Yeah,
but yes,
I would say, if it would have been me, and I'm pretty sure Bill would have been the same way, get your ass in the back, start doing the fucking dishes, start taking out the trash, we'll work you up from there. No money's going to be handed to you.
Because
I'm not turning your ass in instead.
Yeah, not right off the bat.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to learn something, and we're going to have a couple different conversations before I give a fuck about you.
Right.
But understand that you brought that on your own self.
But because serialized kids show...
We're buddies now.
Because
there's only good and bad. And now that they're not bad, they must be good.
And then that's where the episode ends.
Yeah.
So episode 8... when push comes to shove.
Oh, this is where we have that.
Cassie loses her fucking diary and gets blackmailed into dating a dude.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. Which apparently she really wants the D anyway, because...
Well, there's
as soon
also
as she gets the chance, she's like, fuck it, let's just continue our date. Hand me my diary later.
Before that, though, the professor made an explosive plutonium that could destroy the whole city. And he decides to put it in a huge skyscraper.
Well, yeah. He has a vial of plutonium because everybody in 1988, you could just go out and buy plutonium on your corner market.
I love that reference. That reference makes me very happy. But we already figured out that this professor is not the brightest motherfucker.
And,
right.
And the duel that has the diary, George and Lenny.
Mm-hmm.
Mice and Men.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. I picked up on that joke,
too.
To
be honest
with
you.
All right, fair enough. You
guys
got
smart. The professor nearly killed everybody if it wasn't for Bulk. He knocked over the vial.
Bulk has literally saved the fucking city.
He did. Yep. He saved the city.
He is literally a goddamn hero.
and he's not going to get
parade,
the credit for it.
No fucking nothing.
Because that professor had to talk like I do with my hands, yes. And right. He fucking knocked the bitch over, and Bulk was like, holy shit.
Got it.
And Bulk just said, you're a Power Ranger in my eyes.
He just literally saved the motherfucking city.
And to make it worse, there's fucking news cameras around,
and they got it on camera.
Yeah,
and
nobody
nothing.
Told the mayor. There's not a fucking parade.
Not even a thank you.
Yeah.
That is the Bulk and Skull luck.
That's the Bulk and Skull luck. If Bulk had not been standing right there,
everybody's dead.
Even the Power Rangers right now would be dead.
And Astronaut,
because there'd be no fucking no warning whatsoever. It'd be tink, psh, boom.
And then Astronomer up in space.
He
like,
said, didn't he say, this vial could destroy the city?
Yep.
This vial is literally has enough power to destroy the entire city. Ooh, I must have.
And then Astronomer was down there, too.
Oh, fuck.
Astronomer would probably be dead.
Astronomer would be dead.
And then fucking up there, Ecliptor would be like, what happened? Whatever, the Rangers are dead.
We don't know what happened.
We win.
Where's
my queen?
Oh, my
She's
God.
She's dead, too.
Dude. Alternate reality, but realistically, because of the way we know this system works so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something that's really going to be sick.
What?
Had that vial knocked over and killed Astronema and all the Rangers and destroyed that city, Elgar would go up another rank.
Yeah.
And be one of the greatest evil master genius fucking badasses.
He won't be running the army
because that will go to Ecliptor.
No, he would.
He's part of the same team.
He would be Ecliptor's boss.
Yeah, he would be Ecliptor's boss. He would then be on par, if not slightly above, his fucking aunt.
Elgar would be higher on the fucking evil food chain than Lord Zedd and Rita Repulsa.
He'd go up to Divatox.
He might even surpass Divatox. He might be Divatox boss because while Divatox defeated them, not her fault.
Yeah.
Not her fault. She didn't kill them.
Right.
She was going to. They fucking lost to her. They were going to die that day.
Yeah.
She wasn't leaving the rubble.
They were like,
we got him. And she was like, are there dead kids in front of me? No, I mean, I don't see any dead kids. Then they're not fucking dead, are they?
Yeah.
Till I see corpses, we did not win. Yeah.
Yep.
And then to make it worse, because Elgar's the little fucking snaky rat that he is, he would have said, oh yeah, I killed them. Oh, okay. So
and then
you
Dark Spectre would be like, you're my number two.
I took care of it for you.
And then Divatox had been like, Elgar, get over here. Nah, bitch, get over here.
You get over here.
Yeah, no,
bitch.
Elgar, she would have been, Divatox would have been like, Elgar, you fucking baboon face jackass, or whatever insult she'd have, and he'd be like, because I'm the one who took him down in the first place and let you take the credit. As Dark Spectre's right there, who's now going to believe him?
Because look what he just accomplished. Yeah,
so he can weasel
his way up. And then Dark Spectre would look and be like, Elgar.
Dr. Phenomenus
would
have accidentally propelled Elgar's career.
Yes.
Elgar would literally be the
second most evil guy.
Yeah.
He would have. Dr. Phenomenus would have been responsible for starting Elgar's illustrious evil career And he would have been responsible for causing the destruction of the entire galaxy.
Yep.
Because no Rangers means they can't stop the Zordon thing from happening.
Shit, Alpha, not entirely, Alpha, because there's a few still out there.
Shit, Alpha would have been like, oh my god,
but
the Rangers
would have been
just died
down and killed.
Call Tommy!
Okay, but, but then the Rangers wouldn't have been there to help Billy, so Billy would be dead.
Yeah. That's assuming Billy survived the whatever happened at, in Aquitar.
He's the Phantom Ranger.
Right. And we already saw how that fight was about to go down before Rangers showed up.
Before Rangers showed up, he was going to lose that fight.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Phenomenus would have been the destruction of the entire fucking galaxy.
But anyway.
Had a Bulk not been standing not but 2 feet away.
Bulk is quite literally the savior of the galaxy.
So, in reality...
We're going to go real quick on this episode. Here we go.
Okay,
ready?
In reality... I want to bring this up.
Go ahead.
Why did they select an elephant to knock over a building instead of a rhino?
It's the monster they had.
My guess is so that when the Rangers destroyed him, they would be arrested for poaching.
Possibly. Elephant is bigger than a rhino?
Truth be told, it's because the elephant slamming into a building and causing the building to fall over is Sentai footage. We have the footage. Fuck it. There you go.
No, what? Nope. I got a better idea. Elephant's bigger than a rhino. Done. I know rhinos are big, but
and because for some reason the elephant had the superpower to deny physics. He didn't go through the wall. He somehow ran into the wall and pushed the building over.
The mega tank went
through
the building.
But the mega tank goes right through the wall saying...
And that doesn't help
the
building.
Mega tank has to literally obey physics, except for when it can get smaller and drive up staircases. Unless the staircase in that building is really fucking wide... And really steep, because it just seems to only go up.
Right. It never turns.
It never turns.
It just kind of goes up.
Yeah, you know that plot hole. Let's just ignore it.
Don't view that plot hole.
Right,
okay,
so
moving on to episode
Cassie
9.
Goes on her date with this dude. Dude gets hungry. They go into the same building that a restaurant and or laboratory is at. Yeah. By the way, that laboratory's not that far from the restaurant because they happen to go in there with radioactive... I don't want to eat my dinner near radioactive material.
But to be fair... You don't know what's going on anywhere at any time in the world.
True.
From what I understand.
Originally,
and
the professor said it was going to be on the top.
Right. But from I don't know.
It's on the top floor. Not on the very top, the top floor.
And Lenny, was his name?
Yeah.
Said there's a restaurant on the top floor.
Yeah.
That building.
So that is that.
So there's
accurate.
A restaurant and radioactive laboratory.
Oh.
Same floor.
Yes, but like I was saying... Wasn't the A-bomb project, like, weren't they constructing one of the bombs?
I think they were doing it underneath Manhattan.
Yeah, so, like,
yeah.
And I thought also, wasn't one being created, like, literally under, was it the Bears Stadium?
I heard a rumor about that.
Yeah. Like, so look, you don't know what's really going on at any time,
true.
Anywhere.
I get that.
You could be like, touchdown, boom!
Yeah, and in fact, let's make it even more small scale. Let's make
sounds
it
like
more
a mutant league football.
Right. But let's make it more small
and then,
scale.
And then the news would say football players are no longer allowed to spike footballs due to a horrible atomic disaster.
Right.
what air are you using in them balls?
No, that's what's going
to
happen with the new XFL.
The
new XFL is going to do that stuff.
Right, but let's time this out. Let's put it in actual real world. And small scale it. Bill went to McDonald's once. 3 o'clock in the morning. He asked for a fucking quarter pounder. Or no, he asked for a McChicken. Changed his mind, wanted a quarter pounder. Pulls up to the window.
Got a crack rock.
Yeah, got a crack rock in the bag. They said that'll be $80. He goes, for fucking what? A hamburger? They go, no, that's not what we're selling. Give me $80. You never know what the fuck is going on next to anything, anywhere.
I get that, but for convenient purposes of the kids show.
Of the kids show.
Right.
I'm going to that restaurant in the same building that the plot is at.
Right. Look, let me just put it to you this way too, Shane. You know how they sometimes have to use the microwave to reheat stuff?
Yes.
Plutonium, it's microwaved now. Radiation will cook
so
that
anyway,
shit.
They go up there, they look out the window, oh look, it's beautiful. Not really.
Elephant.
Not really. I've seen way better
amazing either.
I've seen more beautiful fucking scenery than downtown Angel Grove.
Right.
Which obviously is also in the desert.
I've seen more beautiful city spans.
Yes.
In fact, this is going to be disgusting, but if you're on the other side of the river and you look at Peoria, it looks real nice at night.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because me and Hannah did that one night. She's like, why don't we ever go do anything, like walk by the river? I was like, fuck it, we can go. It's like right over by the Walmart. We park, walk over, it's cool. We went over there, took a couple photos, and we're just looking at the cityscape, and we're like, huh, that's actually pretty neat. When they look out this window, I'm like, huh, I've seen cornfields that look prettier. Trust me, I live near one.
To be honest with you, Amanda wants to start walking more. She ever tells me, why don't we go walk by the river? I'm like, I don't know, because this is the fucking smelly-ass river.
Right.
And it's not beautiful. This isn't a fucking crystal clear lake.
So that's
this
it, right? We got the little ranger truck that can carry some rangers.
The only other thing is fucking Cassie at one point in time is finally like, fuck it, I can't take this shit anymore.
I'm going to have to morph.
By the way, just to put this out here, Power Rangers just told you that most hentai plots are acceptable in society.
Yeah, it's true.
Where you take the girl's diary and like, hey, do you want this back?
Zip.
Guess what's happening now?
Yep.
Well, you've seen hentai. You know where this is going.
Yep.
And she has to say, I do want my diary.
I've seen hentai. I know where this is going.
And you are a nice guy.
Something funny, though, is that when the building's shaking apart, Lenny gets hit in the head with some concrete.
A big old block of concrete.
And it hurt like hell.
But it knocked him out.
It's spray painted.
But then he immediately gets up, but not immediately. It takes like a minute.
No. He has his eyes open, looking around.
He's like, what's
still getting slapped.
And he's like, what the fuck has happened? And then he finally gets up and he's like, ah, that was nothing. Let's keep going. I'm like, no, reality. Something hits you in the head like that. No.
Right.
Either there's more. You're concussed. I don't care right now, dude. Right. You are concussed.
You should be dead.
To be fair, if Cassie was
dead. In which case, we could have played it off that way. You were the Pink Power Ranger. You got hit with fucking shit, dude. You've been down for like the last 20 minutes.
We get that it was foam. But we know what they were trying to sell, and if a block of concrete that big fucking fell on you, which, by the way, guys, there's a possibility, but like this much, slight, okay, real slight.
There's a lot of light in my face.
This much of a possibility that maybe being around Rangers as they continually morph... Maybe part of the morphing grid also can augment people that are around it? Here's why. Because Bulk and Skull have survived an outrageous amount of monster attacks and ridiculous situations.
Today,
Shane...
His reflexes were enough to save Angel Grove.
His reflexes were enough to save Angel Grove. And a building fell on them. And Skull, with one arm, said, "Doo! Did you see the giant slabs of foam concrete that were supposedly on them?
Yep.
We're talking 500 to 600 pound fucking slabs of concrete that buried an old man, a fat guy, and a skinny dude. And a skinny dude with one arm just pushed the wall aside.
Whap!
Doo! Holy shit, man, a building fell on us.
Yeah.
Skolovich up in this bitch,
right?
But anyway, they save them. The next episode,
the Craterite invasion. Now I'm assuming that these Craterites are from the original Sentai footage for their putties.
Yes, basically what this is it's Invasion of the Body Snatchers meets a Star Trek episode where the holodeck goes crazy.
Actually, I put it as they live with these things.
I put it down as Earthbound enemies in the real world. Because that's literally the blue cult from Earthbound.
So that's basically what happened here, and the Rangers have to beat them.
So let's see. My notes are very simple, and it goes through the whole episode. It's Kid is a liar. Earthbound enemies jump out of a ship.
They didn't shut that fucking place down. Yeah. After that thing did that even one fucking time, I would shut that fucking program down and never run it again.
Right. I would agree.
Yeah, it was a random strike of lightning from space that caused the holodeck
And there are random storms in space sometimes.
Which means I'm never turning that on again.
Right.
You got to go in there and fix that before you do anything with the whole
holodeck. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Six guys running around the ship all of a sudden turn into 1,000 of them jumping down using parachutes.
The monster was cool. The monster was cool they climbed on each other and became a bunch of bodies. And, like, when they shot it, it would, like, cause a hole or a bunch of bodies would fall off of it. It was pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah, I do actually enjoy monsters like that where it's like nanobots or shit like that where a bunch of them come together. So you could keep fucking shooting at the son of a bitch, but as long as one of them still lives, they're just going to keep reforming and reshaping.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if a lot of this stuff that was in this episode, in the Sentai, was maybe from the very first episodes of the Sentai.
No clue. Until we watch the Sentai, we won't know. But for this purposes, this episode wasn't bad, but this is a filler episode if we ever saw one.
And even then, it can't be from the original Sentai, because usually the Sentai follows a normal format like ours does, only it takes a little bit longer to get there. It's, you get the team, you get the Zord, you get the weapons, you get the Zord, then you get another Zord, then you learn that the two Zords can combine.
In this one, they had, like, the first episode posing stuff, which is why
Well, look, but okay, in the Sentais, like, when you watch Jurenja, like, there are full episodes where the Megazord never exists.
Yeah. Right.
Like, and different things like that. So, like, they are more lenient than we are with the formula thing.
Right. Because when it comes down to it, I mean, the fact that they already have the two Zords and the two Zords can combine to become an ultimate Daizujin.
Not yet.
Not yet. I thought this one had that.
Not yet.
No, this one's not. I think that's... Okay, well, I think we're done with this
one. I am. Episode 10, The Wasp with a Heart.
This brings in a bee that I swear we've seen in Mighty Morphin.
We have seen this damn bee.
Yes.
So the bee somehow survives.
From the way they make it look, there's a race of these bees.
Oh, this is the episode I was telling you about.
There's a race of these bees, because there's different kinds of them, too.
Because we see the wasp monster later on, but this bee guy is...
Look.
Okay. You have
King Sting or something like that?
Sting King or something like that. And then the wasp's name is Waspicable.
Yeah, Waspicable. There we go. Look, there's only one cool thing about this episode that I liked. The wasp starts to chase Bulk and Skull and the fucking professor, and he looks underneath and he sees pant legs, and he walks around, he's like, I scared him out of their pants, and I'm like,
It's different pants.
Looney Tunes worked in the real world.
Yeah. How did they do that?
It's different pants and different boots and shoes.
One of them is a scientist. Science.
Starch these pants.
Science.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Dr. Phenomenus has a weird spray where he just was like, fucking let's get out of here.
Right. And to be fair, they didn't get very far because he just goes, oh, I scared them out of their pants.
Oh, fuck, there they are. Oh, and by the way, you remember when I said Power Rangers don't have sex?
Yes, because of what Cassie does, yes.
She
sees them in their boxers. She's like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. Yes. Please, go. Run away.
There's a little too much embarrassment over Bulk and Skull's boxers.
I mean, it's
technically speaking, it could have been she was creeped out because the old man was wearing.
To be honest with you, a little bit longer in her shorts.
And this is not the first time we've seen them like this,
right? So for them, it's nothing. But again, she's looking at 70-year-old man heart boxers.
I get it, but her response,
Bulk and Skull and boxers,
right.
Too childish.
Her response is too childish, which once again brings me back to exactly what I've been saying. The Rangers universe is too innocent for Rangers to ever have sex.
Okay.
At least until after they stop being Rangers.
Yes.
Next episode is episode 11, The Delta Discovery, where it starts off with Divatox.
Yeah, Divatox and Zordon show up for a bit.
They have Zordon.
Awesome. Billy Cranston episode.
And when Divatox first starts walking towards the screen, I'm like, which Divatox is it?
It's the movie one.
Yeah, it's Movie Tox.
Because of the fact that there's been two different Divatox.
Yep, it's Movie Tox.
Movie Tox?
Movie Tox. That's how we refer to her. Because the other one is...
Series Tox.
Yeah, Series Tox.
Okay, this is the one.
Who also happens to be Question Bitch.
This is the one episode that, I'm sorry, that I was...
The Phantom Ranger returns in.
I was playing a video game.
So wrong. It's one of the only good episodes.
Yeah,
it's
a good episode.
Not that any of these episodes were necessarily bad, but this one really stands out.
Like, the next episode is dumb.
Fair enough. But oh, no, like, once... this one's awesome because, like, Phantom Ranger gets shot. Like,
he has
guts are kind of hanging
out. Yeah, stuff
out,
hanging out.
Like, wires
the machine,
and shit.
The machine is broken, and once again, he immediately right. starts losing his strength because that machine is keeping him from aging. I'm positive
right.
of it.
Well, I was watching it, but I was actually playing a game at the time, so I was
and
like,
he literally, like, almost falls down like he's going to dead, like, be dead. Mm-hmm. Oh, and to make it better, since TJ's, like, the only one able to do shit, because this is the one I was talking about where everybody's worried about Andros fucking lone wolfing, except Carlos is like, you know what, he keeps doing this, who gives a fuck?
Why did they say his name wrong?
Andros.
Andros, not Andros.
Sorry, Andros. It's because I'm used to Star Fox.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Fucking
I know.
But anyway, we get exquisite acting of, let's rock it! From fucking TJ, as they try to fucking jump down onto the surfboards. Literally, exquisite acting. Because they didn't yell, fucking cut, redo it,
they
get
just
some
like,
water.
They were like, guys, it's late.
Here's breath spray. Just
it's a late, it's
whatever.
It's late, we're behind on filming. Give me one take. Let's rock it! Taking it.
No, it's, let's rock it! Because his voice fucking breaks like so, he's going through puberty, and they're like, fuck it. I
in this
care.
Episode, after he gets... Okay, he finds Zordon.
Yes, he does.
He's been tracking Zordon. Oh, and guess who fucking found Zordon? Does that make more sense? The Phantom Ranger would find him, and that my current running theory, without a doubt, is that is Billy Cranston? Well, mm-hmm. guess who has more knowledge about tracking Zordon than
you?
Anybody
I'm
else?
More, right. I think I brought this up before, but I'm more convinced than ever. You hear his voice, the Phantom Ranger. I swear to God, that's Adam.
No, it's not.
It sounds like Adam.
And to make matters worse, like we had said before, if Power Rangers are dead, guess who else is dead? Because Phantom Ranger gets shot. His guts are hanging out. Well, it's wires, but basically guts are hanging out.
Yeah.
He's on his knees fucking looking up like, ah, fuck me.
When
he gets saved,
stuff to
well, he gets saved for one reason.
Yeah.
He has a device with him. And he shoots it into the sky, and it sends an automatic signal to that spaceship. Specifically,
that
spaceship.
That happens to be the spaceship where the Rangers are at.
Why would he know that?
You know.
Why would he know exactly? I'm telling you, that's fucking Billy. Because he made that spaceship. He knows there's Rangers on it. He knows that he's looking for Zordon. He knows that at this point other people would be too. And it just so happens that he's getting his ass kicked, and he's like, I don't really have a lot of options here. A spaceship. So he shoots that fucking gun up, and they come and help
and
him.
Because Ashley and them know
and,
about the Phantom Ranger from the last series.
And Cassie well, still has a thing.
Yeah. And let's make it fucking worse. As soon as it's like, Rangers, and everybody's like, oh, it's the Phantom Ranger. There's not one fucking confused look amongst any of them. They're like nobody's like, who the fuck is that? I don't know who that ranger is. Is that even a ranger? He's asking for rangers, saying Zordon's here. He must be on our side. But who the fuck is that? Not one fucking soul has even a herp derp who be that look on their face. Everybody knows. Oh, look, the Phantom Ranger. What's he got to say?
Well, four of them would know who he is.
That's my point.
Mm-hmm. But what about Andros? He doesn't say anything.
No shocked face, no fucking nothing, just, oh, hey, look.
He heard Zordon.
And Andros would also know who he is if my theory reigns true. Because if that happens to be Billy,
he may actually know that is Billy.
Yeah.
There's just no reason for him to mention it.
Yeah, right.
Because the second...
Because
when they've seen the
like,
Phantom Ranger...
Oh, Phantom Ranger. Then they, he goes, oh, yeah, no.
Would have went, oh, they already know who that guy is.
Nobody,
they know who he is.
Nobody was shocked at the fact that that was him, including Andros, so they all know him.
Yeah.
So Andros is like, oh, that's... Hey, what's Billy?
That's
doing?
The guy that
exactly.
gave me the ship and everything. Which is also the reason why... Once again, more solid proof, who was entrusted to go get the other ship? The same guy that was given the ship the first time.
Yep.
This time, the Phantom Ranger knows where another ship is because he also helped the Ranger before find another ship. Well, another Zord thing.
Right, but this time, this is all part of what they were setting up. This is part of that strike force. They always have two or three different Zords.
Right.
And the first ship was already made. The second part of that ship was going to be given to them once the team was finalized. And I think, even though it's automated, just like the Dragon Zord, I think that that Zord that he told them to go get was going to be Billy's.
Yep.
Which Billy would have been able to fight outside of it, or inside of it, depending on the circumstances, with that thing on his wrist.
Yep.
Just like Tommy used to play a dagger.
Just like bum, 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 ba-da-dum, and then and he could stay on the field and fight.
And Tommy said,
while he's
sorry,
like,
not
Tommy. Shoot missiles.
Yeah, Billy could say to himself, that was really helpful.
Yep.
I need that again.
And then Andros gets this little battleizer thing that just commands it.
Which is exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
That's what Billy would have used outside the ship. I think that would have been Billy's Zord.
Yeah, because Billy would have done that exactly.
Flyer.
Said,
and guess what?
Yeah.
It's fucking black.
It's black and silver, just like the Phantom Ranger.
Huh, look at that.
That would have been his. But because of circumstances and the fact that it's automated, he said, you guys need this shit right now.
Yep, yep.
Well, and especially because he's the only one with the CD-ROM to go fucking turn the thing on.
Yeah, and of all the people that knew where it was, and he had a little disc.
And he knew which spot it would have gone in, too.
Yeah.
There was two slots. He knew where it would have gone.
Andros guessed. The fact that it ended up with Andros was just a coincidence that Billy always intended to fly over that way once things got on hand and things were on the move and the strike team was ready and he would have joined them with that. He never got that opportunity. Instead, he had no choice but to say, they need it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to make a judgment call.
Especially because he's putting on tough, brave face by holding in innards.
Yeah,
because
he's fucking
saying,
literally
here,
dying.
Here you go. And as soon as Andros goes, oh yeah, no, I got this. And he takes off, he fucking lets his arm up and flops on the fucking floor
and people,
like a Ric Flair and just goes, oh God.
People are still going to play at this idea that he's like in love with the Pink Ranger just because he left her a message.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a message saying, you know,
She's
the one that's been the kindest to me. She's the one that I feel is like my friend out of the group.
Right.
I don't really know any of the other people. She's the only one that really spent any time with me. She at least deserves a little bit of a, hey, I'm going to be fine.
And especially considering the fact, once again, going back to genius Billy Cranston, who could predict the goddamn future. Here, Rangers, here's a message. Thanks, I'm okay, don't worry about it, peace. I'll find him. And everybody else walks off. And here comes fucking Cassie. I hope he's going to be okay. Boop, boop, boop. Beep. Cassie, I'll be the fuck okay. Go help them. Who the fuck else would realize she's going to be the only one to... Billy!
Which also comes down to something else. That doesn't have to be an I love you moment. That could very much be a... If they're going to worry about me, it's going to split their team. The person that's probably going to stay behind, without a doubt, is going to be her... Because she's going to be all woed because she seems to like me. I don't know what that's about. I'm happy to have a friend, but, you know.
Right.
And this is not a guaranteed love story here. People are shipping it. But truth be told, if this really is Billy, he has no business in love with her.
Yeah.
And I don't see any proof that says that he likes her. So far, the only thing I see is that she likes him.
Yeah.
She don't even know who he is.
Yep. Yeah.
Just like what happened with Ashley when they first met Andros. That could be a lizard man. I don't fucking know what's underneath that helmet.
Right.
What's next?
The next episode,
12.
The Great Evilizer.
The good and evil ray.
Yeah, good and evil ray that the professor makes.
Yep.
And gets stolen.
It gets stolen. The evil ray gets shot at Ashley's...
Galaxy. Ashley and Andros while they're on another planet having a DBZ 100 times Earth gravity fucking training mission.
They go back on their galaxy... Is it called the
galaxy glider?
Yeah.
And then hers gets shot with the ray and becomes an evil glider and it knocks her off. And,
well, not exactly evil, just negative energy, which knocks her off and stuff.
And then Andros saves her, blah, blah, blah.
The same building that gets blown up in every single episode gets blown up.
It was a decent little
Tatsu
episode.
Really
Tatsu
likes that building.
He puts that building together so fast.
It was a decent little episode where they take over the Megazord and then they gotta, like, find a way to get it back and...
Right.
But really, I don't see anything that stands out that we need to discuss here other than Megazord gets taken. It was kind of cool. There's a decent little fight scene.
There's two things that need to be brought up. The first is now we get ultimate Daizujin moment of rocket punch. Followed by backup on the spaceship. You talk too much.
Which, by the way, more proof that these two ships were built at the same time and were meant to be for each other is that they can combine.
Right.
These weren't just two things that, hey, like Zordon happened to make a ship a long time ago that he's had hidden that you might need someday. That's not what this was. These were made at the same time with an exact purpose in mind.
It's not a bad episode. Nothing really spectacular happened.
The next one is big old filler.
So that was episode 12. We're going to... Episode 14?
13.
No.
13. We're going in order.
What was 12?
12.
We just did 12?
Yeah, we just did
12. Oh, so we're on it. What's 13?
Grandma Matchmaker.
13 is when Ashley's grandma shows up to play fucking Matchmaker. So speaking of people being shipped...
Ashley's grandma from Bel Air. Because of the way she's dressed.
Oh, yeah, right. I saw that.
Yeah.
This is and the only cool thing about this is fucking Granny steals a cop car and fucking runs over the monster.
The monster looks like it should be from Kamen Rider.
It's true.
I
take that back. There's another good thing. The fucking, the little termite babies end up eating everybody's weapon except for Ashley's. Which is fucking hilarious because, once again, Andros' fucking sword, kaput. The fucking, the little blue hatchet, fucking, TJ looks at it and he goes,
huh, my lunar lance is gone.
Oh, I got some blue stick in my hand.
Is it a
stick?
All I'm saying, Bill, there's a reason why I wanted to skip this episode, because I wanted to put my goddamn eardrums out of my
And when you talk about the grandma taking the cop car, the grandma flipped over a cop, stole his vehicle, taser ass.
Right.
One or two good scenes does not make this a good episode. This is an awful episode.
Exactly.
The grandma is so annoying.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to slap her.
That's why I said taser ass.
Right.
I would have. Oh, then this would have been the best episode of the season.
All right, next!
So, the...
Episode
Valerian,
14.
The
Alien Sting.
It's where... this is the episode...
The bugs.
This is the episode that Carlos gets stung and becomes a monster.
It introduces...
Dark Honda.
And this is also about the whole plague that happened on KO-35.
Yes.
Dark Honda knows Astronema, but she doesn't quite remember him.
He's the one that kidnapped her.
Yeah.
Yes. He's the one... And Andros is too young to remember.
And she was too
even
young.
Even though he watches the fucking disc every fucking
she's
night.
She's also too young to remember.
Right.
She's also been manipulated by Dark Specter.
True.
And he was a mullet baby, so maybe he didn't really see
mullet
a good...
babies who don't remember.
you're giving us a fucking side eye. Just wait until fucking Future Scott makes an actual graphic, and it's been up like 13
what
times
you said
already.
Don't make sense. Does he look? Does he? His hair in the back is long. Does he see out of the back of his head?
Hair up front is short.
I need any excuse. I need any excuse I can to talk about.
Because he has a mullet, so maybe he didn't see correctly. Are you kidding me?
Lost his sister.
That's
because
his business in the front, party in the back. Mullet.
He was playing with that boy.
We got a new shirt now. But you can make up the lyrics and put it on the back.
This episode I actually liked a lot.
I liked it, but I had some small problems with it. Like, first, after fucking Carlos turns into a bug, you're on a ship with a fucking AI. Why didn't you have the goddamn ship track his ass? I know he can get in the vents where you don't have, you know, full-fledged sensors. Yeah. But for fuck's sakes, you should still be able to tell. Oh, hey, he was just here, now he went into the vents. Let me lock down the vents.
The only thing I want
to bring up... and of course, when Cassie gets bit, she ends up getting a fucking nipple on her neck. Was I the only one that noticed that?
No, I noticed it too, but...
Okay, good. I thought it was just me. It's just me being pervy
again.
This
is the episode that, you know, Andros knows exactly what it is. He's seen it before.
He knows where
it happened on his home planet.
He knows where the cure is.
Oh, and that's the other thing, too, is the fucking
and
cure.
And...
The cure... Instantly gives you clothes too.
Well, okay, not just that, but here's
because
the thing.
Carlos was without a shirt and stuff.
Okay, here, look.
But here's the thing that kills me. He literally, they open up the box. There's two vials of medicine. One vial of medicine cures two fucking people. They have both vials of the antidote.
Yeah.
They don't make any more antidote.
Thank
they don't
you.
Don't do shit the fuck else with
here
it.
Here it comes.
And magically, the villain has the other vial, and just here goes the antidote.
Here's the thing. Once again, bad fucking leadership. One, Carlos gets bit. You know what the bug is. You don't even bother to restrain him. nor do you bother to tell him what's really going on so he could make a profound decision.
Right.
Problem one. Problem two, she gets bit.
Now all of a sudden it's restrain her.
You know the power of this frickin' bug thing. You know that you've already lost two Rangers. You know that there's nothing stopping you from going and coming back to the ship at any given time, and that the bugs do not seem to possess the intelligence to do anything to the ship.
It's all instinct.
Yeah.
So as the leader,
and you twice
decided the wrong thing to do with the bugs, and then, on top of it, you made this fucking decision. You stay here, Ashley. You stay here with the two bugs.
By yourself.
And Alpha.
Why? The bugs are not interested in Alpha. He has no genetic material about him.
Yeah. They can't do nothing to him.
Yeah.
Except tear him apart.
And to make matters worse, as the bugs start fucking chasing everybody, they jump down the holes to use their fucking surfboards. But the bug just stands there and, shucks.
Because the bugs are like, oh, well, fuck. Because they can't do anything like that. So look, you left her to fucking die. Literally, knowing full well that's what it was going to do.
Yeah.
Second, you knew what it was to begin with. You didn't restrain your people properly. Three, you go and get a fucking antivirus in which you have a ship with massively sophisticated technology, and we know from prior Power Rangers shit that if Billy built that ship, it could more than likely, there's got to be a laboratory or something on it where you could actually produce.
It has a replicator.
Yeah.
Exactly. You could fucking put it in the replicator and synthesize the motherfucking thing all damn day long.
There's more to it, though. Not only did you not do that, but then you knew all along that these bugs are living human people. And you killed the bugs. It's fine that you saved your ranger friends, but who was that guy?
Yeah.
That might have been Dave.
Who was that?
I think that's Dave. Killed Dave.
That was literally Andros's fucking kindergarten teacher.
Dave was a good guy. He got stung.
Fucking Mr. Dave.
Now I killed him.
Fuck him.
Yeah.
Because his name is not Carlos and or Cassie.
Fuck him.
Fuck him. If he had their names, I might have saved him. But he didn't. His name is Dave.
Because, once again, he does not analyze the situation at all. He's just like, fucking, dude, let's go lone wolf this shit.
TJ, you come with me because I need backup.
Hey, three's a crowd. Stay here and die.
Ashley, right. Knowing full well that you do not have what it takes to shoot your friends.
Ashley, you stay here and beat Paul Ripley.
In fact, we've already told you not to shoot them.
Yeah. We said, don't shoot them. If you must shoot them on the lowest fucking setting so nothing can happen.
Stay here and die, please.
You know what I would have done? To be honest with you?
I know we're working on a relationship
I probably would have left TJ up there.
Stay here and die.
I'd have left TJ up there, because I know exactly where the shit's at. I know where it's housed at. I'd be like, guys, listen, I know where it's at. I'm the best one to go get it.
Now we're assuming that towards the end, that Darkonda released the last bug. We're assuming that he released the last bug. So in which case, the cure isn't needed anymore.
But whatever those bugs were, they come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every single time they sting a person, there's another bug.
Yeah. When that bug stings another person, we still need the cure.
That means we need the cure.
Now.
Legitimately fucking need it because they could be anywhere at any time. We've already used the cure and then lost what was left and never synthesized new cure. So now the only thing they need to defeat the Power Rangers is one fucking bug.
Yep. Just need one. Release it on Earth. Congratulations, Earth is now all the bug people. Done.
And then they gotta go down there and try to deal with it. And if even one bug gets a scrape, they're a bug too.
Yep.
And you can't cure it. We just gotta kill every single person.
We also don't know if the bug sting can penetrate when you're morphed.
We don't know, but all they gotta
it
do is
tried
release,
like a motherfucker though.
All they gotta do is release one fucking bug on Earth.
Well, what I'm saying is that like you could have been like, Ashley, stay here, morph. I don't, because Carlos got stung in human form. Cassie got stung in human form. I don't know if the morphing grid will protect you, but it's our
I'm
best
guessing
hit.
Not because they were sure running from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least you have a little bit more protection with the suit on.
Right.
But regardless, all they got to do is get one bug now. If you want to defeat the Rangers,
get one bug
and release one bug.
Here's
on the
what I would have done as the leader. TJ, stay here with Ashley. I know exactly where to go. I'm sorry, but if they attack you,
and
shoot them.
Right. You'd have been just like him. You'd have gone down there. You'd have been all fucking lone wolf. You'd have run into fucking dark fucking douchey baggy guy or whatever, or fucking the guy that is your goddamn bane of existence.
Right.
What's his name?
Darkonda.
Darkonda.
No. Darkonda's the guy that does the kidnapping. Who's the other one?
Ecliptor?
Ecliptor.
Ecliptor. Ecliptor's the guy you haven't been able to beat in like a fucking year or two, and you've lost every confrontation you've ever had. If Ecliptor shows up down there, end of the world.
Yep.
You need all three of your men.
So you take all three of them?
You take all three, you take the boogie boards, you go three different directions. They can't. There's only two of them motherfuckers and some robots. Yeah. One of us is getting through. One of us is getting it. One of us is synthesizing. One of us is saving the world.
Yep.
And when Darkonda showed up, you know, if we would have got the antidote, I'd been like, you two.
You might want to actually. There
you go, take the fucking thing, synthesize.
His spikes have been like that the whole episode.
Yeah, I know.
What, low?
Yes.
Is that it up here?
No, you've been down here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like down here. Here.
Well, I apologize.
I'm looking forward to listening to it.
When I don't like, I can't sit still.
No, it's fine. I'm wondering if I gave.
Does anybody else have anything on this episode?
I think I had one thing when Andros finally used his battleizer away from the Zord. He started having a Kaioken hand.
Oh yeah.
When he did the attacks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was once again a new set of technology that only he gets.
Yep.
Right.
And only he knows how to play with.
And that was only the first setting. So, last episode
is TJ's identity crisis.
Which is fucking.
Once
TJ
again,
gets amnesia.
Andros' fault.
Yep.
He lone wolfed it. He lost his fucking shit. He tried to play the hero and the big man instead of the leader. And the leader.
Yep.
Stepped in to solve the situation, but by the time he'd fucking stepped in to solve the situation, they'd already lost two guys, and that's when TJ was like,
"No, three.
Fucking no." They lost two at first.
They lost the girls.
They lost two, and then TJ was like, "What the fuck?" He was like, "And I'm positive TJ stepped in because TJ realized this guy is not a fucking leader." And by the time he stepped in, it was too late. He stepped in to try to solve the situation. He said, "You need to step back." And he's like, "No, I'm a bad motherfucker, and I need to be a bad motherfucker."
And
that caused the loss of the third guy, which then he would have fucking died.
It
was the fusion of Dark Ecliptor
and Ecliptor.
Yes.
When he went to go freeze fucking Andros, TJ jumps in front and he gets hit in the head.
Yeah, right. But that's what I'm saying.
And then Carlos has to step in
Carlos tackles the guy, and he's like, "We got to get out of here." And that guy's like, "No, you ain't going nowhere."
Yeah.
Right.
So he freezes fucking Carlos.
So then Andros and fucking TJ
take off.
And the whole fucking situation was caused by Andros' incompetence as a leader.
Yeah.
That is exactly what the incompetence of leadership looks like. That situation could have been completely avoided by any other leader in the history of Power Rangers up to this point simply doing their fucking job.
And to make matters worse, you know what saves fucking TJ? A basketball, because they were playing 3-on-2 hoops earlier.
Yeah, but they would have never been in that situation. Andros, this is the end of our 15 episodes, Andros is a horrible, horrible fucking leader. The worst leader we have seen so far.
Well, I really think he's not supposed to be a leader. He just got it thrown into him.
And he should have stepped down.
Yeah, he should have. If he actually is supposed to be a good leader, he should have stepped down. Which, again, gives more credence
to either. We can give him every excuse he wants, every excuse in the world to say, "Well, he never should have been in that position." Well, that's true. But if you know, and you can see the situation around you, and you do nothing, and you continue to be the leader just because it was thrown on top of you, you made those decisions as a leader, as a poor leader.
Yep.
He's a bad leader.
And again, that gives more credence to our theories of, it was either supposed to be fucking Billy, or it was supposed to be fucking Zane, or supposed to be the damn leader. Because you don't know shit.
Which I'll know that when I get to analyze Zane.
Right.
Which, as far as I can tell, we don't see him until episode 22.
Right. The next we'll be going to episode 30. Sadly, we have something else we have to do before
that. We
gotta
get through the Turtles.
We have 15 more episodes of space.
We have 13 episodes of Turtles.
15 more episodes.
13 episodes of space followed by...
Finish the Turtles.
We have 13 Turtles, which finishes the Turtles, and then we get to rate it. And then we have 15 episodes of space. 911.
We're gonna tackle Turtles. We need an emergency.
We're gonna need it.
Oh, yeah. Shit, 911's here? Oh, god damn it. Look out for New Jack! That's a reference I figured only Scott would get.
But yeah, that's it for this episode. We'll see you guys when we review Bad, Terrible, Stupid, Retarded, Dumb, Shouldn't Have Existed, Should Be Taken Off Cable, Should Be Taken Off Netflix, Hulu, anything. Get rid of it. Bye.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.